Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Uh-oh. Sounds like somebody's got a case of the Mondays.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio. This is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Testing, testing. Is this on? Is this on? Hello, hello. This appears to be a microphone. Hello, hello.
It works.
Well, smells familiar, looks familiar. Welcome back. Andrea is back from Iceland. Of course she is.
Missed you.
I'm back from the hospital.
Aww.
And Dave's on the road. Nice to see you, Carms.
Hi, Steve. Good morning. Great to be here.
And, you know, I don't want to be critical right out of the gate because that's not how I roll. You know that. I'm very supportive. But let's drop all our other concerns and let's get to what really matters in sports today, and that's the Hawks. We'll get to that in greater detail with Brent Sopel later.
They got to win a game, Steve. They got to score a goal.
Very good. How about a star for Mark Carman?
Woo-hoo.
I mean, those who get the most goals win.
Brilliant.
Yes, that's exactly right.
No need to overthink it right now, right?
More
Steve,
goals.
Glad to have you back.
Hey, buddy. I'm going to come to the seventh floor. Stand by. How are you, Steve?
Good. Good to have you back.
You all right?
Yeah.
You sound a little down.
No, I'm not.
Did you have a nice Easter?
I did. How about you?
Rumor had it you were seen at a Cubs game. Is that accurate?
Right, that's right. Yep. I think I got a little bit of a red color, too. So.
And you have a nice haircut, Steve Grzanich.
Thank you. Thank you.
Yes.
Hi, Mary.
Hi. How are you?
What do you think of my haircut, Mary?
It's a trick question, Mary.
A couple look good. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I actually got them all cut.
Oh.
And again, it's just a drive-by. How are you? Did you have a nice I imagine you cooked for the entire Vanderbilt
No, I did not. I was at my sister's with about 40 others, so I had to bake, but that was it. It was beautiful. It was great.
All right, we'll do the top six at six here in just a second. We'll go over everybody's time off, away from me, really, not really time off. And we'll catch up with Dr. Most after 6:30. Now, I'm going to tell you right now, this is an experiment because I don't know if my voice sounds fine or not, but it's not fine. And if it doesn't work, it's going to be the Andrea and Carm show at some point this morning. But you can only sit around for so long before you start taking hostages.
Mm-hmm.
And I really wanted to get back on the air, and I'm glad to be here because I like this job.
Absolutely. We got your back, always.
So we'll detail the malady without getting too tedious with it. But if at some point during the show you notice I sound a lot like Andrea, it's because I'm laying down on the floor.
Right. God, sounds like my vacation was a little better than yours.
Well, I want to talk to you about Iceland later because I think Sandberg has friends who have gone to Iceland a couple of times this year. I don't understand the fascination with Iceland, but it was beautiful, right?
Oh, it was absolutely stunning. It was unlike any place I'd ever been. It was just beautiful. And some great stories for you, too, about
their
economy.
And you've done a lot
of
traveling.
Yeah, it was wonderful. And interesting stuff about their economy, their politics. They're very interested in our politics and just their system set up so differently. It's so nice.
Were you in Reykjavik?
I was in Reykjavik, yes, for 5 days.
Can you spell Reykjavik?
I can now, because I was trying to find the weather forecast, and I kept saying R-E-K, R-E-Y, mm-hmm. R-E-I-O. Yeah, it's there's nothing easy there. There's nothing that's easily pronounced there.
Top 10 things to do in Iceland, in Reykjavik, for 5 days. Number one, it says here, Steve, see Reykjavik. I don't know what that means, but that's what it says. See Reykjavik, number one.
Oh, that's the downtown
area. If you're in Reykjavik, don't you just walk outside, look around, and go there. There's Reykjavik.
It's bigger than you'd think. I mean, their downtown area is kind of split off in two, so it's bigger than you would think.
Andre, can you pronounce any of those volcanoes?
No.
I think I can pronounce the one Eyjafjallajökull.
Yes, and
bless you.
I'm pretty sure you just cursed.
Yeah, I think I did. Yeah.
there was a geyser that we saw too. It was near Grindavik. I just said the geyser, and everybody knows what we're talking about.
Right. Why does everything sound like a Lord of the Rings character?
Because it's all traced back to Viking history.
Okay.
So the Vikings founded this area.
What was the average daily temperature?
The average was about mid-40s, I would say.
It was 70 here.
I know, inching up close to 50, but it was bright and sunny every day, so it wasn't really cold. You had a couple of layers, and then you layered up at night when we went and saw the Northern
Lights. Plus, we have volcanoes. Steve throws a tantrum. That's like a volcano.
Right. Yeah, this was calmer. There were no eruptions. Yeah,
were there people walking around with Viking helmets on, with the horns on?
Oh, they sold those, let me tell you. They sold those everywhere. And I would have gotten
the dumbest. What's the dumbest tourist thing you bought?
Candy for you guys, because everything is so over the top expensive. I'm not kidding you. For a cup of soup, two bowls of soup,
lentil.
No, this was like a meat stew. There's like a lot of stews. Two cups of soup, a Diet Coke, and a beer was $55.
Oh my!
Well, they're in the middle of the Northern Atlantic. How do you get anything there? Of course, it's expensive.
Plus, everybody's going there now. It's so popular.
So they
probably upped the prices.
Everything has to be airdropped in. You want a quarter pounder? Yeah, we'll get it to you in 3 weeks.
Oh, that's so true. There's about 330,000 people on the entire island, and most of them are in Reykjavik. So, and then they're so overwhelmed with tourists now. I mean, it was very touristy.
So the bucket list, would you go back or are you done?
I would go back. Absolutely.
You would go back?
Yeah, I'd go back and hit the Blue Lagoon again, because that was just unlike anything I'd ever experienced. It was beautiful.
Does it all smell like sulfur? Somebody told me that you could smell sulfur everywhere.
You smell sulfur when the water's hot, when you turn on the water, but it's very pure. I mean, everything is just natural energy, and their water's pure. You could drink it right out of the tap, but when you put on hot water, like in the shower.
You sound like a double agent. You started to sound like one of those Icelandic wannabes.
Yeah, I know, right? Manafort. It did smell a little sulfuric, yeah.
Did you drive it?
Okay.
What about the glaciers? The Myrtle, Dals. This is your show.
Hold that thought. We're out of time on glacier talk
right
now.
Right, we'll do it later.
Let's do traffic with Mary. We'll come back with the top 6 at 6 and Dr. Kevin Most, Ryan Nobles later. Brent Sopel, as I mentioned, Dean got a doggy in studio later with Dave. And it out. Ooh. Mark, you are in a position where you have to roll around on the floor with Steve Dale's dog.
Sweet.
And Phil Kagan from The Amazing Race in studio after 9 in the CLTV hour as we continue. Apologies for my voice. Thanks for putting up with it. I am thrilled to be back because I like this job. You know, there's been some I didn't. I really like this one. Let's go to and by the way, I do want to thank Todd Manley and Larry Wirt and everybody for, upstairs for all the support. I think it was support. They said, stay out as long as you want. You're really not missed.
Now it's time to move on to a little something we call...
The Steve Cochran Show presents the top 6 at 6.
That's the best number I've heard yet.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Yes.
6.
Lucky guess.
My favorite number is 6.
The top 6 at 6 on 720 WGNS.
Nope. All right, time for the top 6 at 6. A lot of tension over what North Korea is going to do. Here's what I want you to do. Take a deep breath, because this is actually, in a weird way, a slow news day compared to what we've had in the first few months of the year. But Indiana Mike Pence, the vice president, is in South Korea, and he actually went and he stood near the DMZ and stared down the North Korean soldiers and took pictures of them, which I'm sure the Secret Service was thrilled with. Mr. Vice President, please put the camera down. Mm-hmm. Hi, y'all. How you doing?
Lisa's not doing selfies, though, Steve.
Hey, you ought to come see us. We're Hoosiers. We love people. Selfies. Yeah, a selfie from there probably wouldn't be a great idea. Mm-mm. But the Vice President is in South Korea to show solidarity with our soldiers there, to show solidarity with the people who are really the greatest threat and the greatest danger in harm's way are our Japanese allies, our South Korean allies, and frankly, China as well, in a different way. I don't believe, and you can take this to the bank, I don't know what bank it would be, I think like all dictators, and we should probably get Micah Halpern involved in this at some point because he knows dictators, our dictator expert. Dictators are selfish, narcissistic, psychopathic lunatics who have no interest in killing themselves. And I don't believe that even this crazy little fat kid, as Senator McCain called him, wants to die. So I think he'll talk and he'll talk and he'll talk, but I don't feel that there's a grave threat that he's going to push a button and try to shoot nuclear weapons at us knowing the outcome. He cannot possibly be that stupid. And what we know about the greater North Korean army is he is surrounded, even those who believe that there's some godlike situation going on with the Un family, the Swiss family Un, there's a notion that the military still controls, and the military would take him out before they'd allow him to do it. So I don't think nuclear war should be our number one issue. The greatest concern here is a mistake. Somebody in the DMZ makes a mistake, fires a shot. Somebody assumes something happens and fires a shot. That's how wars really get started. But in the meantime, Vice President Pence, you should come home quickly. Next! The White House announced it's going to cut off public access to visitor logs Friday. This is just dumb. I don't particularly know why the White House felt it needed to do this. There's been various times through various administrations where you're not supposed to see who comes in and comes out. I could think of a president. You remember President Clinton?
Yes.
And there were visitor logs involving women who would be coming in and out of the White House. At one point, Monica Lewinsky tried to sign in, but Eleanor Mondale was already back in the office with Bill. Those type of things are, you know, problematic. But the visitor logs are supposed to be kept. They're very, very detailed. And they also are supposed to be available to the public. So I think Trump's going to end up having to flip on this. Next! See the numbers coming out of Syria? 400,000 people have been killed in the Syrian war. Half the population has been displaced. At this point, you're wondering, what is Assad exactly saving? Assad in Syria has never had a better chance to cut a deal, because everybody in some form wants him to go. Russia would even want Assad to go if they could put one of their own people in play to run the country, whatever's left of it. But for those Syrians who live in Chicago, for those who listen to the show, for those who we've had on as guests, for the doctors that we've become friends with who continue to be heroes and go over there and serve, I can't tell you how sorry I am to see what's happened to your country, to your home. And this is a crime against humanity. Your prayers are needed, and action is needed by this country. I'm telling you, what Trump did, I fully support. And even if this turns out to be some diversion of attention, I don't care. He's made two military moves that have been very positive, and for now, we'll take that to the bank as well. You were going to say?
I was just going to say, I know you've seen those images, the before and after pictures. Aleppo, downtown Aleppo, and most of the cities in Syria were beautiful. And now they're just bombed out buildings, and now there's bombed out buildings on top of bombed out buildings. So they're literally running around these rocks and these ruins, shooting and killing each other.
Yeah, it looks like something from 1,000 years ago.
Yeah.
It's terribly sad. Let's go to the wide, wide world of sports next. It's going to be funny if I keep hitting puberty during the show, isn't it? Is today Boston Marathon Day? I think it is.
It is.
Yeah. Yes. That means there's a Red Sox game at 11 or something?
Hang on, Steve.
Aren't you a guy doing sports today?
I am. I didn't think we'd get it, but it's my fault. I should know what time the Red Sox game is. I take full responsibility.
It's a fun thing in Boston on Patriots Day where they
10:05 Central,
Sox game.
11 Eastern. You're correct, Steve.
Very good. 11 o'clock in the morning. The deal, of course, is every time the Boston Marathon comes up now, we remember the Boston bombings. So there will be a strong show of support, strong show of security in the streets today in Boston. But when it comes to sports, well, we've got our own issues here. Next! David Haugh tweeted out overnight, what kind of bizarre world are we living in? The Hawks can't score a goal. The White Sox have a better record than the Cubs. The Bulls won a playoff game against a number one seed. Where are we? Who are we? Carmine, I need your best people on this watching this all morning. Something's wrong here.
I'm on it, Steve, and it's good news that the Sox are playing well and the Bulls are playing well. We just got to get the Hawks and Cubs going. More importantly, the Hawks right now. Don't worry about the Cubs' long season.
Yeah. Don't worry about baseball. Don't worry about basketball. That just started. We have to get goals. Goals are all we need. And tonight in Nashville, here's one thing I can promise you. Nashville doesn't want to play the Blackhawks. Nashville doesn't want to see the Hawks come into their building tonight. What's the name of that arena?
That would be Bridgestone Arena.
Yeah, Bridgestone Arena with the vomit-colored sweaters that they wear.
Yep.
I'm guaranteeing a Hawks win tonight.
It's a good guarantee. You know, last year the Predators won two games on the road against Anaheim, then they dropped three in a row. Now they ended up winning the series in seven, but we don't need to get to that part. Just they won two and then came home and lost three in a row. or the first two at home and then the third one on the road. So it's very doable, Steve. They just got to, what did you say, score a goal? That'd be nice.
More goals wins. Write that down, listeners. More goals wins. And finally, a specific item only for Carm. You know, Andrea, it disturbed you and I before when we found out, this is years ago now, that Nick loved the Powerpuff Girls.
Yes. It still is a little bit disturbing.
It's equally disturbing to me that Carm is very sad because the series Girls ended its 6-season run on HBO.
Oh, and you came into work today. Look at you, trooper.
Yeah.
Listen, Girls was one of the greatest shows of all time.
Right at time. 6:30, back with the big story next on 720 WGN.
I have edema on my thigh, pink stuff in my eye, and I need you now. I've got a stomach pain that's low, fungus on my toe, and I need you now.
Doc?
He's from Central DuPage.
Do we have a Dr. Most?
Yeah, he sounded okay.
Yeah, what do you think?
Yeah, better than last week, that's for sure.
You want me to turn my head and cough?
Yep.
Okay. All right, let's dispense with me as quickly as possible here, but just to update people. So the reason I was out last week was I had this RSV virus. Let's start with that. What is it?
Yeah, RSV is called, it's a virus called respiratory syncytial virus. And people have probably, some people haven't heard of it. Actually, I had breakfast with my mom yesterday. She goes, I've never heard of that. And yet my brother said, well, Jerry's had it all winter. So it's a very common virus. As a matter of fact, it's probably the number one reason children are admitted to hospitals through the winter. Very common, very contagious, and just kind of an ugly virus that gives you this terrible bronchitis.
And why does it seem to be harder on grownups than kids? It seems to be counterintuitive.
Yeah, well, it actually hits kids and adults pretty hard. But, you know, people, most adults, as long as they don't have any other underlying, are just going to get this aggravating cough that they're going to have for weeks, and they're just going to feel kind of miserable. Kids end up pretty sick and end up in the hospital. Adults, it's an aggravation, and, you know, nobody likes to feel, you know, pretty cruddy and cough for 2-3 weeks.
So since it attacks your lungs, probably the thing you don't want with it is a pulmonary embolism?
Absolutely. I mean, you unfortunately were just the perfect storm. You know, you had the shower of pulmonary embolism, so your lungs aren't functioning as great as they normally should be. And then so it caused a lot of inflammation, and then you put a virus right on top of that. Difficult for you to clear it. The body's still trying to just get rid of, you know, those clots and trying to get your breathing back to normal, and then you throw a little infection on top of it. Better than pneumonia, but still just the RSV. Better than bacterial pneumonia, but still the RSV is pretty nasty.
You guys do frequent flyer points at the hospital since I was there twice in a month?
You know, you're right up there. You probably have enough for a free flu shot, that's for sure.
I was going to say, Steve, you'll probably rack up enough points to buy things in the gift shop, like on Wheel of
Fortune.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nice.
The Northwestern pullover or something, yep.
Oh, sweet. I do want to thank the fine nursing staffs on floor 4, floor 3, 3C in particular, all the testing folks, the imaging folks. There's some pictures on the internet of me that I didn't think should get out there. But, you know, when you're a star, you're a star. What can I tell you?
You got around that hospital, didn't you?
You know, the great thing is you want to be wearing the Mrs. Doubtfire gown as you're walking along. And that's when you want to be recognized by folks.
Are you Steve Cochran?
Hey, you're Steve Cochran? No. No, I'm really not. No, I get that, but that's not me. And at one point, Andrea, they had a belt on me.
Yeah.
So and this is total hospital, you know, regulation wear, Doc will tell you.
Yeah.
The belt is to make sure that you don't fall.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And the belt was bright yellow. So I thought it was nice.
That's nice. Like a weird referee.
Like a caution belt, it sounds like.
Yeah, it was a hot look.
Yep.
Bring that when you're back in here, Steve. We'll play around with the belt.
I got to tell you something, though. The nursing staff is unbelievable because whether it's 2 o'clock in the morning or 2 o'clock in the afternoon, and Doc, you say this all the time, but why not salute the nurses? They're unbelievable.
Yeah, we're pretty fortunate to have a great nursing staff here. You know, we're a magnet-designated hospital, which is only 7% of hospitals in the country are magnet-designated, and that's the highest acknowledgement you can give to your nursing staff. And we're fortunate to be one of them. So we have a great nursing leader. Deb O'Donnell is phenomenal as a chief nursing officer, and she just rallies her troops and keeps their heads up, and the morale is great. But, you know, you talk about the gait belts, when it being a safety issue, and it is. You know, falls in the hospital cause a lot of problems. People don't realize how decommissioned you get after sitting in bed for a long time, and then we take you for a walk in an unusual environment. So, you know, it's there for your safety. Some people say, no, I don't need it. But, you know, that tech or that nurse was walking right behind you with her hand on that belt. She was not going to let you fall.
Well, and I can tell you, it turned out to be fun because I was racing a guy from another room, Andrea.
Who won? You, yeah, of course.
Well, yeah. Well, I did, because he wouldn't stop talking about World War One. I said, come on, Vern, let's go.
That's great.
But a wonderful staff and a great, 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 great time. And I know you won't be offended by this, Doc, if I tell you I don't want to go back this week. So I plan on not seeing you for a while.
You know, we do not take offense to that at all. We don't want people to be here, but we're here if you need us. But really, the only people we really want here are those having babies and those who are having elective surgery that they've chosen. The rest
right.
of you guys, stay healthy and stay in your houses.
I did go from a cup to a B cup. I just figured while I'm in, I might as well puff them up a little. Yeah. Seriously, though, before we break for traffic and come back and talk about actually picking a doctor, which I think is a pretty important topic, remind people what the PE symptoms are, because this is the stuff you should never avoid, because I'm lucky to be alive. I've had this happen to me twice now, and whether it's a hereditary blood thing or anything else going on in your life, it's nothing to be messed with, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And probably, you know, the two biggest symptoms, one is going to be chest pain, and the other, the most important one, is unexpected shortness of breath. Why am I short of breath? I never get short of breath walking up a flight of stairs. Why am I short of breath now? And also the sedentary position that you can be in. I talked to my brother David yesterday, and we were talking about you, and he said, hey, you know, he flies a lot. He said, you know, what should I be doing? I said, David, any flight for you that's over 2 hours, make sure you get up and move around. And that's a big thing, because airline flights are probably one of the bigger reasons for people to have blood clots. They sit in that position and that with those legs bent, you know, for 3, 4, 5 hours. That's not a good thing to do. So you want to make sure you get up and move around. And even if you're just sitting at a desk at work and really intense work, get up and move around. That's probably the most important thing for you.
Yeah, and I had no chest pain, but I certainly had the shortness of breath. So if you get the shortness of breath, and then what are the calf symptoms?
Yeah, so you can have calf tenderness, or you can have swelling in your calf, because the clots are often going to come from your legs. Think about where you bend your knee there. The clot's going to form in that area, and that's exactly where your clot was. So, you know, if you have swelling, warmth, tenderness in the leg, in the calves especially, make sure you get that checked out, because that could be the formation of a clot. So different sizes. Most people will have one calf that's maybe a little bit bigger than the other, but you shouldn't have one where it's noticeably bigger. So that pain, discomfort, squeeze that calf if you have discomfort. Again, that's another reason to make sure you get checked out.
So how do you pick a doctor? I'm lucky. I happen to know a couple. But how do you pick a doctor, and is Yelp a good plan? I don't think so. Dr. Kevin Most will talk about selecting a physician and why everybody ought to have one, and give you some basic points on it coming up as we continue. Sponsored by Northwestern Medicine, making people better by making medicine better, he tried to say. Back with Dr. Kevin Moe, sponsored by Northwestern Medicine. Doc, everybody ought to have a doctor. Sounds like an idiotic statement to make, but most people, I just can't say most, but a lot of people don't. You know, if you move around, you go, oh, I got to get a doctor, I'm in a new town. Or if you just move in your own city, one place to another, it's not exactly the priority that's number one on your list, but it's really important. So let's start with the basics. How do you find a doctor when you don't know one?
Yeah, that's a great question. And, you know, people often are, you know, go to a book, or they'll go to their insurance website, and they'll just kind of pick somebody off based on, well, this guy seems to be right down the street from me. And in fact, the decision that you're making there is probably one of the more important decisions you're going to be making, higher than what restaurant you're going to go to. So think about a couple things. One is, this is what I always tell people, when you move into a new area and you don't know anybody, ask around your neighborhood, ask in your church, ask at your workplace, do you know a nurse or a doctor? And ask that nurse or doctor two things. One is, who would they recommend, and who is their doctor? Because I can tell you, doctors pick good doctors, nurses pick good doctors. So that's probably one of the easiest ways, is to find a professional in that same discipline and say, who is your doctor?
Can you, if you, let's say you don't know a doctor, can you ask a pharmacist?
Absolutely. You can ask a pharmacist, you know, ask another health professional, because they're going to know quite a bit. The nice thing about doctors and nurses is they're going to know how that doctor interacts. They're going to know their personality. They're going to know their practice style. Now, the pharmacist might say, you know what, stay away from this guy because, boy, he seems to prescribe a lot of X. Or so they know more about our prescribing habits, where the other professionals really know a lot about personality, access to the office, and compatibility with other individuals.
How important is it to go in reverse order to make sure your doctor's on your plan, whatever your plan is?
Yeah, unfortunately, right now, that is a big one. Make sure that they're on your insurance plan. You know, doctors don't like to jump around in and off of insurance plans because it's inconvenient for their patients. But unfortunately, with the Affordable Care Act, you're going to start to see some of that. So really, compatibility with the doctor is probably number one. Some people are willing to say, you know what, I'll pay out of pocket to see Dr. X because, you know, I like him that much. Because it's our health you're talking about. But really, check to make sure they're in your insurance plan. And probably more importantly is, what hospital do you want to go to for your care?
Right.
Because that's probably the most important decision. You say, I want to go to, you know, this hospital. All right, now I'm going to go on their website, actually. And every website, every hospital website has something called Find a Doc. And you go in there, and it allows you to see a picture of the individual, tells you where they went to school, tells you what they're board certified in, tells you where their office is, and at least doing some of that homework before you take that next step in deciding.
So you figure out what plan you're on. You figure out what doctor can connect with. Are you looking for a GP, an internist? What are you looking for?
Yeah, and that's a great question, too, because some people say, you know what, I'm trying to get a doctor, and this is what I want in a doctor. And it should be a decision that y'all should think about. Do you want to go to a group that is a large group, 10 doctors, 12 doctors, even 7 doctors? And people say, no, I want to go to one that only has one or two. But you have to think about, the groups that are larger often have better access. They're open every single night till 8 o'clock. They have office hours on Saturday. If that's important to you, then that's something that you should consider when you're looking at the size of a group. Because a one group, one doctor, two doctor group, they're not going to be open every night. So access is one thing. Look for their board certification. And the beauty of the internet now and the beauty of information is, public information is out there on malpractice claims and disciplinary actions. So you can look to see, how many times was your doctor sued? Now, there's going to be some lawsuits that are frivolous and some lawsuits are going to happen, but you don't want to go and find somebody that's been sued 10 times, 15 times. You don't want to see somebody who's had their license suspended. So malpractice claims and disciplinary actions are out there. And then the other big thing, Steve, is call the office. See how you're treated when the phone's, right. You know, that's the front office staff really makes an impact on the doctor, and it's often a reflection of that doctor's practice style. So is the front staff polite, nice? Are they helpful and cheerful? That's the place that you're going to want to go.
These rating services that are out there, we talked about Yelp for restaurants. Look, they're all ginned up. Are they fair to doctors or unfair?
No, they're really unfair. I could tell you, you know, RateMD, health grades, they're okay, but anybody can go in. I can go in and put down ratings for any single doctor and never even seen that doctor. Consumer Reports, a little bit better because they do a little bit more in-depth looking at your license and board certification. But for the most part, those aren't great. I can tell you, good institutions, great institutions, are very transparent on their scores. And I can tell you, Northwestern is getting to that point right now. So what we do is, you were in the hospital, you're going to get a survey from us. But even in the outpatient world, we use a company called Press Ganey, and we survey all of our patients. Well, we're getting to a point, we're going to start in surgery and then work our way, where we're going to post our scores on our website. So you're going to see, what did the patients think of their surgeon based on actual care versus someone who just goes on a website and posts something.
Right, and it's real time for a large, in the big picture, it's real time. So it's current information, which is good and valuable information. All right, so that's peer-to-peer. Andrea's got a question that I think is relevant when it comes to a doctor. Go ahead.
Yeah, Steve. Doc, I'm curious. You were talking about selecting a doctor, and obviously that's so important, especially if your doctor retires or whatnot. You really are kind of stuck in the lurch. You don't know where to go. Do you ever take offense if I would ask you, you know, either to recommend a particular doctor and I didn't do it, or if I asked you for maybe to get a second opinion? Do you take offense at that?
Not at all. Matter of fact, I encourage it. You know, because if I recommend someone to you and then you went and saw them and it wasn't a good experience, I want to know that.
Okay.
And second opinions are so key. I'll tell you, it's always nice to have another set of eyes looking at something. So no one takes offense to second opinions. And really, recommendations, if I were to recommend, and I can tell you, I get asked at least 2-3 times a week, can you tell me a good doctor? Can you tell me a good specialist? I need to see an orthopedic surgeon. And those are really probably big decisions as well that you have with your discussion with your primary doctor. Because someone comes to me and says, I need an orthopedic surgeon. My next question is, tell me what part of your body hurts. Tell me what part of your body you're concerned about. We have doctors that just do shoulders. We have doctors that just do knees. So, you know, depending on what your needs are, we're going to help you choose which doctor you need to see.
Doc, for a long time, I've suggested to you, and you've scoffed at me, a hypochondriac hospital. A hospital where just hypochondriacs come in and you have doctors who smile and nod and treat the hypochondriacs. I think it'd be good for the industry in general. We have one on staff here, and that's Mark Carman.
Hi,
Mark,
Doc.
What is your hypochondriac issue of the day?
Well, I got a little pouch, Doc, on my left elbow.
A pouch?
Well, it's like a flamed. I think we got a little bursitis going on, perhaps. Originally, when I was putting my elbow on the desk listening to Steve, it would kill me. But now there's no pain, but I got this big. It feels like I got a lot of fluid in there. But it doesn't hurt when I'm, you know, hitting amazing backhands and all that type of stuff. I'm wondering, do I need to get this taken care of or will it go away?
Looks like a hernia,
Mark, a little. Mark, it's interesting. What you have is something called olecranon bursitis, and it's very common for people that bang their elbow. The body is going to try to protect itself as much as it can, and bursas are essentially fluid-filled sacs that really don't have a lot of fluid in them for the most part. But if you injure it or damage it or hit it really hard, the body's going to say, I don't want this to happen again, therefore I'm going to build a cushion here. So we get it on our knees and we get it on our elbows. As long as that does not get infected, then you're going to be fine. So it'll get big and red, and then it'll be, like you just said, a little pouch. It's a fluid-filled sac that's protecting you. Eventually, the body will reabsorb it, but it takes longer to reabsorb it than it does to form it.
Are you sure he's not a kangaroo?
Look at the way my body's just protecting me, Steve. Look what it does. Look at the way we're just on one same team.
I don't like the idea that you're developing pouches. That seems odd to me. Doc, thanks for the information again. Thanks to everybody at CDH for the great care. My family appreciates it. Most of the people I work with appreciate it, and I certainly appreciate the friendship and all you do for us here on the show as well. It's Northwestern Medicine, making people better by making medicine better. We'll keep an eye, on whatever is growing on Carmen, and we'll call you if anything else comes up this morning. But thanks, Doc.
Thanks, Doc.
Sounds good. We'll see you on the golf course instead of the hospital.
Yeah, buddy. I like that. All right, back with the news next on 720 WGN.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Uh-oh, back in the air chair. That's what we used to call it, Audrey, back in the disc jockey days.
Mm-hmm. Hitting the post.
Glad to be back. You know, if 100% is healthy, I am a solid 43% right now. I'm feeling good about it. But considering the gown I had on this week, I think the wardrobe's better, and glad to be with you, and thank you for listening. Audrey is back from Iceland. More on why she went and how she escaped, and whether or not she'd go back, because she sounds like she loved it.
I did.
All right, so we'll get to that coming up. I want to play you some sound from the weekend. For those of you who didn't see Saturday Night Live, they had a new one Saturday night. Melissa McCarthy showed up as Sean Spicer. I was disappointed last week when I was not on because I really wanted to be on the morning after Sean Spicer said Hitler didn't use chemical weapons. I missed my opportunity, but Melissa McCarthy picked up the ball and ran with it. Here's something from a sketch Saturday night.
Everybody shut up so I can apologize. Yes, you all got your wish this week, didn't you, huh? Spicy finally made a mistake. As we all know, President Trump recently bombed Syria. Now, in defending the president's decision, I said that unlike Syrian leader, the leader of... Son of a, what is his stupid name? I got Bazooka Felicia Ahmad Rashad. At least Hitler never used chemical weapons, and everybody freaked, okay? They were all like, boo-hoo! Boo-hoo, what about the Holocaust centers? And yeah, I know they're not really called Holocaust centers. Duh. I know that. I'm aware. I clearly meant to say concentration clubs, okay? Let it drop. And P.S., like you also to know, I am sensitive to the fact that they were sent there on trains, but hey, at least they didn't have to fly United. Am I right? God dang it. That one just jumped. That one jumped right out of my mouth.
Melissa McCarthy getting it done, delivering as usual. I knew the moment it came out of Spicer's mouth, the next call that's made is Lorne Michaels. We're going to need you Saturday night.
Yeah.
So we'll fly you in. I don't understand. I'm really, it's one of the more stunning things I've ever seen. I don't understand how you could be a grown human being in the United States of America and have such an incredible lack of understanding of World War II. How did Sean Spicer miss World War II? And then maybe the more important question is, how does he still have a job?
Right.
But moving on. Lady Gaga was the first, that fun is fascinating, the first female solo act to headline Coachella. Did you know that?
No. I mean, yeah. Coachella's huge. That was surprising to me.
Debuted a brand new single called The Cure. Here's a clip. I will be right by your side. I mean, she's ridiculous. She's so talented and great, and still welcome on this show anytime. Lady Gaga should be coming in any day now, Andrea.
Yeah, she's actually, do you mean in studio? Because she's coming to Wrigley in August.
Yeah, we're going to have her in.
Excellent.
All right, maybe not, really? But she's invited for sure, yeah.
She is invited.
It's a little early for her. Jumping around to various sound from the weekend, let me give you a couple of sports clips. There's a guy named Wesley Bryan, who won his first PGA Tour title yesterday at Harbortown. And here's why it's an interesting story. The guy used to be a trick shot artist. He used to be a guy that made his money by going to, you know, golf outings like you have all summer long in Chicago and doing some trick shots, and he'd get paid for the day. Well, he won his first PGA Tour event yesterday, and he's a very honest guy. Here he is sitting down with Nick Faldo and Jim Nantz.
Was it really as pressure packed coming down the stretch as you thought it might be when you would dream about trying to win on the tour?
You know, honestly, I wasn't nervous at all day. And then number 17, I got up and honestly, I just threw up a little bit in my mouth and I was like, well, shoot, I guess this is what nervous feels like. And
there you go.
Yeah.
That's what it's all about.
So that's how it went down. But then I was able to get it back together. Okay.
That's how we describe it.
I don't even know if I'm supposed to say that.
Jim Nantz went on to offer him a mint.
And it's appropriate.
I love how honest that guy is. And finally, Chuck Barkley, Charles Barkley, one of my favorites, and Carm, I'm sure one of yours as well.
True, love him.
There was a bet in the studio yesterday during the NBA playoffs on whether or not he could properly pronounce an NBA star's name. Do you know the guy I'm talking about?
I do. Giannis Antetokounmpo of your Milwaukee Bucks.
All right, how many people in the room think the Milwaukee Bucks, Giannis Antetokounmpo, give it to me again?
Giannis Antetokounmpo.
Giannis Antetokounmpo. Yeah. Will Chuck pronounce it correctly or incorrectly? Vote now.
No.
Not a chance.
Let's see how close he comes. Here's Charles.
Giannis Antetokounmpo.
And you're leaving a syllable out, but it's a good effort.
Oh, the Greek freak.
Antetokounmpo.
He's
a different type of player.
He's amazing, Ernie.
Yeah.
He is amazing. Giannis Antetokounmpo.
Yes, is
the Greek freak.
The Greek freak. Ernie, I was working on that all night last night.
You see Charles sitting around his house going, Giannis Antetokounmpo. Giannis Babadabubo. Giannis Zippity-Doo-Dah.
Charles has got to be your guy, Steve. This basketball game is not worth watching. I don't know why anyone would watch it.
Giannis Antetokounmpo.
I love Chuck. As a matter of fact, at any point later on in the show, if Mike Jacobson plays Giannis Antetokounmpo, as pronounced by Chuck Barkley, be the seventh caller and be a big winner. What do we want to give away? Like a weekend in the Dells with Charles? You think you're having a good time in the Dells, and it's Charles just walking around, just repeating Greek names over and over again. And have you seen Giannis, Andrea? He's a Greek freak.
I know, and you know what? I would have pronounced it Giannis, but he pronounces it Giannis, which means which is translated to John, believe it or not.
Carbs, I'm right about this. He can stand under the hoop with his hands through the basket, right?
Yeah, he's as they call him, the Greek freak. You're talking about a 6'9 guy with arms the size of somebody who's 7'2 who can shoot it, who can put it on the floor. He's really he's one of the more underrated NBA guys out there, Steve, and he's only 90 miles away from here. I'm shocked the Bulls are actually in a series, but I was thinking about going up to Milwaukee to watch him. They got a good series going on with the Raptors. He's outstanding.
Well, with that pouch growing on your arm, I wouldn't leave the city.
Looks like it's getting worse, too.
I know I'm the only one that's thinking about doing that, but I just wanted to put that out there, Steve. It's just an option. That guy's a stud, top five player in the league, just 90 miles north of us.
Yet, what is our number one concern today?
That would be the Blackhawks and scoring goals.
More goals. There was some booing of the Blackhawks on Saturday and a couple of sites saying that fans shouldn't boo. I disagree with that. You know, the Hawks fans have come to expect a high level of play. And if booing makes you feel better in the middle of a 5-0 loss, then let it fly.
Oh, who are you booing exactly? You booing Coach Q? You booing Kane? You booing Taves? Three cups? Who are you booing?
What do we need, an affidavit? You're booing poor play in general. Just poor play. Come on, let's go. A boo, what is a boo? A boo is inspiration like a cheer is inspiration. And these are big boys from the best organization in sports. They can handle it. I don't think it was abusive. I think it was frustrated fans.
I mean, I think they can handle it. But look, Steve, if you have a bad segment, that would never happen. Should you be booed?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I think you guys should boo now. Let's go into traffic here. Mary has that, and then we'll come back and get you the Iceland travel report in just a moment. All right, back on 720 WGN. Andrea, back from Iceland. Mm-hmm. How long were you there?
I was there 5 days, Tuesday through Saturday.
And did you go with a group of people?
I went with some friends. Yeah, we had a really nice time.
All right, so everybody talks about the Blue Lagoon. What is the Blue Lagoon?
Blue Lagoon is one of the top wonders of the world. It's actually it's a hot spring. It's like a spa. It's one of the most visited attractions in Iceland, and you are literally kind of swimming in the mountain. It's all volcano. Iceland is all volcano and volcanic rock, and this is literally a hot spring, just not man-made. And it's right in the middle of this mountain, in the middle of what was once a volcano. And it's like taking a sulfur bath, and it's supposed to help your skin and be good for your aches and pains. And it's just a wonderful – that was probably my favorite part of Iceland, was the Blue Lagoon.
And when Peter Greenberg, our travel buddy, was on, he said that you do that first right from the airport?
Yes, a lot of people do that. It's very high-end. You can take a shuttle right from the airport. We did it the next day, though. So you go, you check in, you get a little robe. It is literally like a spa. It's very expensive to buy the bath salts there, too.
Does everybody do this together? It's like one big, stanky public bath?
Kind of, but it's huge. It's huge. It's bigger than any swimming pool you'd ever see because it's right in the middle of this mountain. So it's huge. So you and I could go and feasibly never see each other because you'd be at one end, I would be at another.
When you say expensive, how expensive is it to jump in?
It was part of, I think it was about $100 a person. And you could spend a couple hours there. And they have, you know, snacks. And they have swim up bars you can go to and get juice, which was very nice. And then you buy the bath salts. And I didn't realize the conversion rate was so crazy there. So it said 5.00. And I thought, oh, that's great, $5. I'll buy some of these bath salts and take them back home. It's $50. That's for a small, probably, pouch of bath salts. It was very expensive.
All right, what is the currency in Iceland?
They call it a krok, K-R-A-K, a krok. Just Icelandic money is what it is. It's coins.
All right, I'm looking at bluelagoon.com.
Mm-hmm.
It says I can get the premium package online for $9,500. What is that?
That would be $950 for almost $1,000 if you get everything. We just kind of did the main part of it. Or you can go $95 if you just want the, you know, because they have massages. It is like a spa. We just did the pool part of it, the water part.
Steve, right,
Yes, go ahead.
Did I ever tell you that my story of West Virginia and the hot springs there? I bet it's the same. You could do the same thing, and just it was a very interesting experience. We can do it off the air.
Might be a little different, but yeah.
Yeah, I think so. Was there a banjo involved in your experience?
Ned Beatty showed up. All
right, what else do you do in Iceland? Because, again, listen, I love that you loved it, and I love you want to go back. I mean, our operations manager is there with her kids this week.
Yes, she is. And our marketing director was there last week as well, too. We kind of all overlapped.
Listen, there's a lot of places in the world. What's the fascination with Iceland?
Because it's just such a cool place to see. It's unlike anything that you'll ever see again. I mean, everything is just nature made. There's geysers. They have this great geyser, and it erupts every 7 to 9 minutes. And literally, you're standing there, and this thing just explodes, and the water shoots up into the air. It's very... very cool and historical to see. You know, aside from the Blue Lagoon, there's, what else did I see? Oh, this was interesting. The largest church, it was called this Hallgrímskirkja Church. And guess who the architect was? You're not going to guess, but I'll just tell you.
Frank Lloyd Wright.
Glorian Samuelson.
Oh, that's pretty funny.
Glorian Samuelson was the architect of this church in Reykjavik. Yeah.
For those that don't know, Orion Samuelson's wife's name is Gloria.
Yeah, so it's kind of like they combined them.
Yeah. Well, that's what all the tabloids, when they first got together, they called him Glorian.
Yeah, exactly, right?
A couple name for the two of them.
Exactly, yeah, like Brangelina. And then, so the Great Geyser, Carid Crater. It's just very cool to see. And
but what about
what would you not see again?
I want to know what you ate.
Well, before you get to food, what would you not see again?
In Iceland?
Like, did you go, it's overrated?
You know, they took us to kind of like what would be their power plant, which was interesting to learn about because all of the, you know, it's all natural resources.
Power plants.
Yeah, so we got to see that. I probably would have skipped that.
I flew to the North Atlantic to see your power plant.
But aside from that, everything else was very, very cool. You know, just the water and the mountains and the geysers and the glaciers. Very cool to see.
What was your food question?
The food question? Mary?
Just what their big food there was.
A lot of fish.
It's fish and chips, yeah. Yeah, their fish was phenomenal.
I heard lamb was big.
Lamb is big there, yeah. They have very good lamb.
How about tourists that stay in the Blue Lagoon too long? Huh?
Tourists that stay in the Blue Lagoon.
They cook them up as well?
No, we literally sat there, swam around for about 3 hours, and it was beautiful. Your hands don't even get, you know, peely.
You don't turn into a mermaid or Brooke Shields?
You don't, no. It's really nice.
How do they get you out of the Blue Lagoon?
Oh.
Like, you know, you've stayed too long.
They don't. So much of this is on the honor system, too. They give you a little bracelet, and you can buy everything there. Your drinks, if you do a spa treatment, if you do a mask, you know, for facial. And it's all the honor system. You have to scan it, and then at the end, you turn in your bracelet. I mean, here, people would probably just walk out the door. But there, everything is honor system, which is very
But it was 40, nice. 45 degrees, so it's not summer.
Yeah, it wasn't summer. Oh, I have to tell you, too, we saw the Northern Lights, which, you know, the Aurora Borealis.
Oh, you saw them?
Yeah, we see all these pictures. They drive you out at about 9 or it's because it stays, the sun is out all day long till 9, 10 o'clock at night. So you have to wait for the sun to set, and about 10 o'clock at night, they drove us all out on a bus to where the Northern Lights would be in this mountain. And you're waiting, 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 and you're thinking, this looks nothing like the pictures. And then all of a sudden, you see these green... I took pictures from an iPhone, so it's never going to come out. But there was another guy with a high-powered lens that he said he was going to send me some shots. And these green lights just appear. It's breathtaking just to see these lights in the sky.
And you said you will go back.
I would go back, yeah, definitely. Mm. It was well worth it.
I don't know. Lots of places to go in the world. Of course, you've been a lot of places. You've traveled forever.
Yeah, I really enjoyed Iceland. Yeah. Oh, and then Peter Greenberg also said to go see the watchmaker. We saw him and his son. They make these watches. They were a little pricey, so I didn't get one. And everything was pricey, but I brought you guys some candy and some goodies too.
How much are the watches? Like, if I wanted to go and get a watch, how much would it be?
A cheap one would be maybe $300 to $400, and the most expensive one that runs without a battery that they make is about $3,000.
And they're all handmade.
Yeah. It's so cool to see them make it.
I just want to go and see the power plant. Let's come back in just a second and get your big story. And then Ryan Nobles. And it doesn't feel like it's a slow news day, but it's kind of a slow news day. And I say that with risk in my voice. Back after this on 720 WGN.
This is the Steve Cochran Show.
And the Nashville Predators win this game 5-0. Consecutive shutouts for Pekka Rinne, who came into this game never having shut out the Blackhawks in his playoff career. He's got 2 in consecutive games.
One shift at a time. That's how desperate it's got to be, you know, a gigantic hole.
For us, it's just getting back to that desperate
you know, that energy and that just scratch and claw and whatever it takes type of hockey.
I know it's going to be a lot of building, and you know, we got to look to chip away, baby steps. Be angry.
Angry they are, kids. And frankly, they should be. When you're the best team in hockey, you don't play like this. Maybe a little bit of a lack of urgency. Maybe a great goaltending job by Pecorino. Maybe a combination of both. But what we saw Saturday night was disappointing. And it wasn't hawk-like. Brent Sopel joins us now. How are you, my friend?
I'm doing wonderful. How are you?
I'm doing all right. You've been in those skates. You've been on the ice, you know, in situations like this on different levels and at the highest level. What do you see? What's going on out there?
I see, I see a lot of frustration, for that fact that they're not able to get done, you know, things that they're used to getting done on a regular basis in the last, you know, in the last 10 years. So, you got to shake, tip your hat to Nashville. Their game plan has worked to a T for the first two games, got them, out of, Chicago Blackhawks' comfort zone. And when they're in their comfort zone, there's no NHL team that can beat them. So they know that. They've found a way to get them out of that. But that's the beauty and the game plan within the game plan within the game plan. With the coaches have to, outmind and outthink and out-chess match. Peter Laviolette and Joel Quenneville will go back and forth and try and find that right formula that's going to work.
How much of what you saw Saturday were the Hawks being off their game as opposed to Pecorino being on his best game ever?
Oh, there's no question. It was all the Blackhawks not being on their game whatsoever. Pecorino's obviously made the saves when he's been asked to make those saves, but none of them have been difficult. He's been in the right position. It's more of a game plan, more execution on the Blackhawks side. He hasn't had any grade A scoring opportunities, no breakaways, no odd man rushes, things that you expect to see from the Blackhawks. So there's no question it's all Blackhawks.
Who has to step up in a case like this? Is it anybody in particular, or is just the whole team? Because you don't hear Q talk like he did after the game very often. Saying, look, everybody ought to be angry. Everybody ought to feel desperate, and everybody's got to get it done. Because, by the way, Brent, I have no doubt they will get it done because we've seen them come back from holes like this before. But who's going to be the one to step up tonight?
Well, you're exactly right. You probably count on one hand how many times, Joe Quenneville has talked like that since, his whole time here in Chicago. And it's got to be collectively. You don't win the playoffs with one or two guys. You need all 20 guys going, every single night. And, when you put up two games the way you have, your leaders need to lead. Your followers need to follow. And it needs to be a complete team effort from start to finish. Yes, you need a guy to get out there and get that lead and let the Blackhawks, play the game they want to play. When you got the lead, you can dictate how you want to play. If you're chasing the scoreboard and chasing the game, you've got to change your game plan, and it plays right into them. So you need somebody to be that. Corey Crawford needs to continue to be really good. He's been very good these first two games. They definitely weren't on him. But, everybody needs to step up, realize where they are. But I think it's a really good thing that they're, out of town, in Nashville, away from everybody.
Carm, jump in, say hi to Brent.
Hi, Brent. Good morning. Steve, Brent's been talking about this, but I think it's worth bringing up again. The Nashville Predators are playing this 1-4, so they're stacking four guys at the blue line. Brent's got the plan that Coach Q is going to implement tonight. Do you want to explain how the Hawks are going to dent the Predators at the way they're trying to stop Chicago?
Well, I don't know if he's going to listen to me. Well, let's put it this way. I don't think he ever listened to me, so I don't think he's now. the neutral zone is one of the biggest parts of the game. That's the block has speed and skill. And right now, Nashville's playing a 1-4, which is basically just a complete cluster and not allowing the Blackhawks to get through the speed, use their speed and skill through there. So you know, I think they need to come back with all five guys and come as a unit, come as a team, and you're going to have to chip the puck in, and you're going to go get it. You know, you're not going to be able to carry it in like you did for these last 82 games, and that's the game within the game that the Blackhawks have to reel. Joel Quenneville have to realize that, and the players have to buy into what Joel Quenneville's going to tell them to do, you know, come game time tonight. It's a different game. If you watched any other NHL games, they've been tight checking. You know, Edmonton has won again, 1-0. You know, you've got overtime games. This is playoff hockey. So you have to take what they're giving you. They're not giving them a lot. Go get it, ship it in, and that's where you need to put the work boots on and outwork them.
I maintain that even though Nashville's up 2-0, they know what the Hawks have done to them in the past. They know who the Blackhawks are. Nobody in this league wants the Blackhawks, let alone the angry Blackhawks. How much pressure do they have tonight?
I wouldn't say. You know, I definitely wouldn't say pressure. Because they put themselves in this situation, and they haven't played good. They haven't played great. They played awful so far. So I don't think there's a lot of pressure because they know that they haven't put the effort through. They haven't got the results because those effort hasn't been there. They know how bad they've been. So is there pressure? No, because they haven't even come out and done what they need to do. Now, if tonight they come out and, you know, lay a third egg in a row, you know, then obviously we're gonna have some pressure. We're going to have some issues. But I don't see that. I still think the Blackhawks are going to win this series. You know, a little controversy, a little kick in the pants sometimes is a really good thing.
How big is the first goal?
No, that's, you know, I'd like to say that's huge, but, you know, anytime you can play with the lead, you know, it changes your mindset. Now, you know, if you give up the goal early, then you start thinking and then you start playing differently. So it would be huge. It's obviously not life or death. You know, they still could come back and win if Nashville scores that first goal. But it'd be nice to get the old monkey off the back and not fail to, you know, beat Pekarinen to this point in time, with obviously Pekarinen having more points than the whole Chicago Blackhawks team.
Yeah, and Carms, you know this from hoops and from everything in sports. If you know how to win because you've been there before, it's a really big deal. These guys have been in this position, as I said before, and they know what it feels like to have to come back. Doesn't mean it's easy, but I got nothing but faith in them, and I know you guys do as well.
I do, and I'm sure they're extremely looking forward to playing tonight. Hey, Brent, what are you seeing on the power play real quick? I mean, they're 0-4 in the series, and late in the year they were 2 for their last 26. What are you seeing going on there?
Well, you know, a lot of that, you know, in game one, you know, Nashville's one of those teams that's a threat to score shorthanded, so... You know, I think, you know, I saw a little tentativeness. You know, first game having two defensemen on the point rather than just one. You know, I just, you know, the whole game, they weren't themselves. They weren't dictating. They were on their heels the whole time. So being on the heels on the penalty kill is the exact same thing. You're not pushing the pace. You're not making the plays that you want to. You're forcing plays that may look like they're there, but they're not there. So get back to basics. You know, get it to the point and shoot it. And get the shot and have that body in front of that, whoever it is, maybe Panic or an Isimov or whoever, get in front of the net, cause a little havoc. You don't have to score. Just get a couple scoring opportunities, make a couple shots, you know, get some momentum going your way.
Is Pekarinen a good rebound guy? Because it seems like we missed a lot of that by – not having you know, a bunch of net front presence.
Yeah, you know, he's a great goaltender, and you know, this is the best league, so you got the best goaltenders, and if you don't get in front of him and take away his eyes, he's going to stop everything. And you know, 6'5", 220 pounds, covers a lot of net. There's going to be a lot of rebounds there, so you got to get there, and the way you get there is by working them and having will and having desire. You know, if you guys, I know Carm's in, he's too busy watching the Bulls win, but,
exactly.
You know, Columbus and Pittsburgh last night, you know, Warren, 19-year-old kid, took a puck right in the face, cut him open up on his cheekbone. I'm 20, maybe 30 stitches, came back, you know, played the third period, couldn't play the overtime because his eye swelled shut. You know, that's what you need in playoffs. You know, we don't need anybody to get hurt, but that's the effort you need to see, and that's what you need to get your nose dirty. You know, take one off the shin pad, take one off the helmet, take one off the backside.
Feel
it. Put it in that however you need to, just to get the monkey on the back, get everybody feeling good, and then everybody will start rolling from there.
Yeah, Brent knows what he's talking about, Carms. This isn't like a hangnail in the NBA where you sit out the entire playoff series.
I'm not going to apologize for watching Bulls Celtics over.
I'm telling you right now,
you got guys in the NHL.
You got guys in the NHL. It's like a Monty Python thing. It's just a flesh wound. Let me get back in there.
The NBA guys are just soft. I mean, they're, you know.
That's what I'm talking about.
Right, right. I know.
Yes, you said it. He said it finally. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Finally got him to come around. Brent, you're the best, man. Thanks for the update and the education. We appreciate it.
Anytime, guys.
Brent Sobel, Chicago Blackhawks rundown for tonight. And is there anyone in the room? I will have no doubters. Is there anyone in the room that actually doubts the Hawks are going to win tonight?
No.
I don't. Come on.
No way.
I don't
Anybody?
Doubt him.
Nope. No, you don't doubt him?
Nope. By the way, Brent Sobel was getting, everyone was coming up to him, Steve, at the United Center on Saturday, and he was just shaking hands, signing autographs. He was, it was awesome to see. The fans were loving him, and he was giving it right back. It was really cool.
He's a good guy. I'm just sorry he's let himself go since he quit playing.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Dean Richards joins us from Channel 9.
Citizens of the world.
Some of the world's greatest entertainers are here tonight.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I present to you.
And tonight, guess what? It's going to be Dean.
Yeah, Hollywood. You know I love you more than what I should. Yeah, Hollywood. Well, kiss me good.
Well, you know, the great reunions. Dean and Jerry. Dean and, that's it. Dean and Jerry.
That's just that one.
Yeah, it's just that one. So now it's Dean and Steve. I'm back, buddy.
I'm so happy to hear your voice.
Yeah, it was nice of you to
congested as it
me
may
last
be,
night.
Yeah, I sent him a little, you know, a little happy Easter thing and got the full update. And I'm glad to hear your voice. I'm glad to hear you're feeling better. I think it may have been my second text to Steve saying, don't worry about a thing. We won't ruin the show too much that got him out of bed and back with us this morning.
I think to be more accurate, because, you know, we're all about accuracy here. The second text was, don't worry about hustling back. We can screw it up without you.
That's true.
I think that's specifically what you actually texted.
That's probably a little more like that. That's very true. Very true.
All right, now, you know, you can't hear your own voice, as you know, even with headphones on. You don't really have a sense of it. On a scale of 1 to 10, how do I sound? 5 being don't touch him, pick him up with a stick.
I would say you're about maybe a 6.
6, yeah.
You still sound a little six. A sick.
Did you say sexy? I couldn't quite get the.
There's no question I sound sexy.
He does sound sexy.
Very sexy.
No doubt about it.
If this was back in the day, we'd have him right on WNUA introducing Yanni Records.
Exactly.
Yanni. It's the second Yanni reference today.
Really?
By the way, the CLTV hour at 9 o'clock, I will not be on today because we're going to rest the voice and try to save it for the rest of the week. Mm-hmm. But Steve Dale's coming in with a dog. So consider yourself warned. And Phil Kagan.
What are you saying? Listen anyway?
Yeah, listen anyway.
Yeah.
Andrea's got it covered. Andrea and Mark Harmon in his pouch.
Thank you,
Phil
Steve.
Kagan
Dean,
from The Amazing Race will be on.
That's another story, Dean.
Mark has a pouch?
Carmen has a pouch.
Oh, I'd like to see that the next time.
It's in the hall. It's next to the Hall of Mirrors. It's medical marvels. It's just two tents down.
I think you may be the first one on WGN with a pouch.
Left elbow, Dean. It's significant. It's hanging. It's drooping. But I think it's still a good look.
Should I send the SOS signal off now? I mean, should I activate the flare gun now? Or
honestly, I think Dean is forgetting about the short-lived run of Kangaroo Johnson, who did nights here. Remember that?
I do remember that.
Yeah.
I do remember that. It was teamed up with Michael Feldman for a short time.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. All right, so Tori Spelling.
Kangaroo.
You know, the A material will come back as my health does.
Yeah, I love when
Tori
Steve's
Spelling,
on drugs.
Tori Spelling is somehow broke. Dean's going to have to explain that to us. Janet Jackson is getting a divorce. And, you know, there's nothing really in the world more attractive than a member of the Jackson family over 50 with a new baby. I mean, that really is a go-get-em kind of situation. But I hope she's good. The baby's unbelievably cute. Did you see the picture?
The picture is absolutely adorable. The big story there that I'll tell you about in a couple of minutes is that the husband, the Qatari billionaire, posted a really emotional sort of sounds like he didn't want to be part of this divorce kind of message on the Instagram over the weekend.
Oh, boy. Nothing but trouble. Fate of the Furious is the latest Vin Diesel Shakespearean masterpiece. Yep. I'll tell you how that's doing.
Record breaker.
We played a little Lady Gaga earlier for you. Might play a little more. And Anne Hathaway's a mom. All that coming up. More with Dean in just a second. But first, let's get to traffic. Seventh floor. Mary, what do you have?
You'll be calling his name. Oh, 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 oh. Dean Richer, the entertainment editor. Channel 972.
Back to Dean at Channel 9. How's the new 4 o'clock newscast working out over there?
I think really well. They've had some great stories. They seem to be having a good time.
Has Lourdes gone diva yet? I mean, she started to make some unbelievable demands of the people there?
No, she hasn't. But Ben Bradley keeps asking, when is Ron Majors showing up?
Ah, yes, of course.
That's a little weird. It's a little weird, you know. Mark Sapelsa is standing right there,
right?
And is Ron Majors coming in yet? What time's he coming in?
Yeah, and Ben Bradley, by the way, not only is not wearing pants during that newscast, I'm told he doesn't own pants.
That's what I'm. That's my understanding. I have not. I've honestly only seen him in the newsroom in boxers or shorts. So
yeah.
I don't know if that was.
It's not right.
Comfort.
It's not right. That's what it is. It's not right.
It's not that, you know. You never see any of us running around doing irreverent things in the newsroom. Ever. We're professionals.
All right, so explain something to me. Aaron Spelling, he was the guy for the 70s and 80s in developing these nighttime soap operas. And because of that, he got a bazillion dollars.
Yep.
All right, he has one child, right? Or is it a couple?
I think there's a couple.
Okay.
I'll check on that.
But Tori Spelling, theoretically, got a lot of money.
Not only should have been from her father, but also... She was an actress in her own right, 90210.
Should have been fine.
Should have been pretty much set for life, which is...
So how the hell is she broke?
Well, part of it was apparently, according to the New York Post, did not pay taxes. The 2014 tax bill alone was $700,000. It's 3 years later. It hasn't been paid. And so according to the story, the IRS went into their bank account and took the money that they felt that they were entitled to.
Yeah, the IRS loves it when you don't pay your taxes. They find that really amusing. I just don't understand how you could have the money and not pay it or not have some to pay it when the demand comes in.
I don't understand the point of that. If it's not like, you know, the IRS is going to say, oh, you know what, you haven't paid for a couple of years. Don't worry about it. That's okay. We'll catch up another time.
And plus, don't they have five or six kids?
Yeah, she just had her fifth one, I believe. And she does all the people shoots all the time. She must make money from those.
She's constantly in people. I don't get it.
It's annoying.
Don't get it. Don't understand it. Janet Jackson, new mom. Tell me about her ex-husband-to-be. He penned an emotional note, you say.
I love when you use the word penned.
Penned.
Because I don't know if he actually used a pen. I don't believe he actually...
I'm told it was a Bic.
I'm told that it's actually done on the computer.
Okay.
Like all the young kids, you know, like all your Qatari billionaire businessmen do, Steve. They get right on the computer. They don't have time for conventional ink. He's a billionaire.
I actually found the note. Would you like me to read it to you?
Sure.
He wrote this to Janet Jackson, and it's vaguely familiar. I'm not sure where it's from. It says, sitting in a movie show thinking nasty thoughts, huh? Better be a gentleman or I'll turn you off. I'm a nasty boy, but don't mean a thing. I know you don't like my nasty car or my nasty food. Where were I hearing this before? Something about this rings familiar.
You know what I say to that? Oh, you nasty boys. Mm.
Yeah, there's something there.
Steve, once again, I think you may have a fever. Once again, I think somebody better get the oral thermometer and check it on Steve because I think he may be going through one of his fevers right now. The actual message that was left on the website.
You have the actual penned note?
This is the actual penned note. I'm just going to humor him until the paramedics show up. Yes, I have the penned note, which reads, they just announced they're divorcing. Think about this, anyone who's been through a divorce, what kind of message would you leave for your soon-to-be ex? He writes, to the most beautiful person in the world, thank you for your divine love, your eternal support, and for being my best friend. He goes on to say, I love you so much, inshallah, which means God willing in Arabic, we will be together in the great forever.
Oh, boy.
Which sounds to me...
sounds like a threat.
That last line sounds like, you better not turn your back.
That doesn't sound good.
We're going to be together in the great forever. But he sends this, lovely, seems like a very lovely...
He sounds depressed, if you ask me. Don't you think?
Does that sound like depressed?
Well, but you know what? This is the third marriage for her. And you know my rule. One marriage can happen to anybody. Two, it's time to get into therapy. Three, it's you. This is her third marriage, so maybe she's no bargain.
He says that she's the most beautiful person in the world with divine love.
And they will be together.
Inshallah.
Yeah. Where is Shallah?
Down the road. Don't you remember that Three Dog Night song on the road to Inshallah?
That's right.
They have hot springs in Shallah.
Shambhala.
The road to Inshallah. That's not nice. That's
no.
That's kind of a religious expression in Islam. We shouldn't make fun of that.
Maybe poor Janet has postpartum.
Steve can. He's hidden somewhere in a virus-free bunker right now. But the rest of us have to go out in public, we should not make fun of that. Anyway, it's very nice. And Janet... posts the first picture of the three-month-old little baby boy, Aisa, on the web after they took a nap. They couldn't look cuter together. So, hey, I'm wishing all these crazy kids nothing but happiness, Steve.
Who do you think could make her happy? There's got to be somebody out there. What about Screech from Saved by the Bell?
Yes, Mark Carman in his pouch.
I think Carman can make her happy.
I'm willing to take a spin here, Steve. Three times, sure, it's probably her, but, you know, none of us are perfect out there. So I'd love to get involved if you can make that happen.
I actually have another note from her ex-husband-to-be just handed to me. It says, it's easy to smile when life's worthwhile and all is bright and chipper, but the man truly worthwhile is the man who can smile when Janet catches him in his zipper. That's the kind of thing that really sounds painful.
You know, how would you like to be husband or number four or, you know, the next boyfriend? You were a Qatari billionaire and you couldn't make it work somehow.
Yep. Things were going well.
That's, you know, you come in here and you're coming in from your job at the Mariano's or, you know, wherever.
Janet, I fill in mornings on the Steve Cochran show every once in a while.
Yeah.
What do you think?
I got to tell you something, you know, based on what we know about the family and, you know me, I know Tito. Something was going on with old Joe Jackson. You know what I mean? Old Joe Jackson, no day at the beach. There's some trouble in that house. This wasn't the Osmonds. The Jackson's house, not so good. Not so good. Not so good. That's all I'm saying, Dean.
Have you ever been to the Jackson house in Gary, Indiana? I know you like to hang out in Gary a lot, as I do.
I like to go to all rock legend homesteads. I do that on my spare time.
It's a tiny little home. There were 15 people living in this tiny house. You know, even if it was like the greatest parenting in the world, 15 people in a tiny house, you're going to have some problems along the way.
Especially get out of my face.
Especially with one bathroom, probably.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
It's always bad news.
There's nothing but trouble. When there's only one bathroom.
Plus, Tito takes forever.
Oh, jeez.
Big movie of the weekend.
Nice. The Fate of the Furious. Not surprising, the number one movie. It took in $100 million here in the United States, which is significant, but around the rest of the world, it took in $252 million. Total take for the weekend, $352 million. Steve, that is the biggest global opening ever for a motion picture. And on the back of Master Thespian, Vin Diesel.
Vin Diesel, Shakespearean superstar.
Yep.
Hey, speaking of terrible acting, I saw The Ten Commandments for about an hour this weekend.
Yeah, that's a good movie, see?
Oh,
yeah.
Man, it is so awful.
It's 1956, come on.
Yeah, and it was the
it was state of the art. 1956 state of the art.
And most expensive movie ever made at the time and all that. But it just is so awful. The acting I'm talking about.
Acting may be a tiny bit over the top.
Yeah.
The special effects may look like I did them on my home computer.
Right.
That's true. But it's a classic.
But you can't stop watching it.
Yeah. You watch every year. We were talking about this on the Sunday show, oddly enough, on Sunday, that it's a ratings getter every week. It was not the number one. You know, if you got a movie about the Ten Commandments and about, you know, God and Moses, you think that might be the big ratings getter for the night. Nope.
Right.
Chicago Blackhawks hockey beat the Ten Commandments.
Yeah, but only for the first period. After that, it went south really quickly.
Then they wish they could part the Red Sea.
No doubt. Anne Hathaway's a mom?
She is. Her little baby boy is 1 year old now.
Oh, wow.
She's got a new movie out that's called Colossal. I always love. Now, I want to go back and see the movie again because I talked with her the other day and learned that she was like full tilt pregnant while she was making this movie. And now I want to go back and see how they hid the pregnancy,
right?
While they were doing it, but yeah, we chatted about it and you know, talked a little about being a new mom.
I was 4 months pregnant, and I mean, it was perfect. He took care of all of the alcoholic weight gain for me. That was all that just happened.
Just got to ask you what the last year has been like with your son. Any huge surprises? Anything you did not anticipate at all?
I did not know what that little sleep was going to feel like. The sleep thing was really real. That one was humbling. I didn't know how much it was going to be, just the muchness of it. I couldn't have imagined that.
This is what I've been waiting for all morning long to find out.
What the hell does that mean?
Yeah, all the things that she must do now as a parent. I'm guessing that there may be a nanny or two also involved.
I didn't hear a lot of joy in that answer.
I'm guessing. Here's what I want to know. Anne Hathaway may be one of the most polarizing actresses working right now. People either love her or hate her, and I could not wait to find out how Andrea...
I don't like her.
...and Mary and Mary think about Anne Hathaway. So we've got one hater.
One hater.
I don't like her. I find her smile to be very annoying, and her giggle I don't like, and she's too pale.
Okay.
Andrea?
I go back and forth on her. It's interesting you say this because I loved her in The Devil Wears Prada. I loved her in the movie with Robert De Niro. But off camera, she can be a little annoying.
Yeah, I'm indifferent towards her. I loved her in The Princess Diaries, though. But she is rather pale, yes. But with Mary with the paleness.
Dean,
but
no,
she's
Dean,
okay. I don't know.
There's another thing, Dean, that guys don't sit around talking about going, hey, I really like Conan O'Brien, but he's just so pale.
Now, I would say that about Julianne Moore.
Mm-hmm.
But, oh, yeah.
Yeah, hey, dude, you catch Fate of the Furious this weekend? Vin Diesel, he's kind of pale.
Mm-hmm. He's pale. He's washed out. Look, I like her, but I thought that was a weird answer from the mom perspective.
I'd date her, for the record.
There you go.
You would date a beanbag chair. What are you talking
That's
about?
That's exactly right. Will you be mine? Let's spend the rest of our life together. I'll
say. Hey, let's go out on a high note. How about you got the Gaga clip? Give me a little Gaga from Coachella.
And a one. And a two.
Daddy too. I like her.
I like this. I've got the white guy head bob going on right now.
You got to be careful if you bob too much. Dean and I are bald enough. We bob too much. Planes land on the wrong runway.
That's it. Can throw off aviation patterns. That's her new song that's called The Cure she performed for the very first time at Coachella. Just had an album come out. Her album Joanne just came out a couple of months ago. She said she's back in the studio. She's working on new stuff and gave the audience at Coachella over the weekend that exclusive. Radiohead performed over the weekend. Kendrick Lamar, New Order, Lorde, all performing at weekend one for the California Music Fest, Coachella.
And one of my old bands was working as well, Two Dicks Named Dave. Was also working this
They were
weekend.
Detectives, weren't they? Former police officers that decided to get into the music business.
Yep, yep. Two dicks named Dave. All right, so thanks, buddy.
Steve's fever is peaking again. All right, feel better. It's good to hear your voice, though.
Well, what's left of it. Stand by. We'll come back and tell you about the oldest person in the world who passed away this weekend. And a bunch of other news stories to catch up on before 9. 9 o'clock hour at CLTV. 3 o'clock with Ro and Anna on CLTV as well on 720 WGN.
The Steve Cochran Show.
Since 1992, the United States and our allies have stood together for a denuclearized Korean Peninsula. We hope to achieve this objective through peaceful means. But all options are on the table.
This is a situation that just can't continue. Being under threat from this hostile regime with nuclear weapons.
And we can't take them all out. This may be the first test of this presidency.
Just in the past 2 weeks, the world witnessed the strength and resolve of our new president in actions taken in Syria and Afghanistan. North Korea would do well not to test his resolve or the strength of the armed forces of the United States in this region.
Vice President Pence in South Korea, as Andrea pointed out earlier, fortunately not taking selfies, but snapping some pictures on the DMZ. Ryan Nobles joins us from CNN. Good morning, my friend.
Hey, how are you guys this morning?
Coming back, Ryan, I know you've been desperately worried, and I appreciate your bedside vigil.
I'm doing constant rosaries on your behalf, Steve, so I'm glad they're starting to work.
Very much appreciated. Listen, it's a weird day to me because it feels like a busy news day. In fact, I would say this is a fairly slow news day based on what we've been through. The North Korea story is percolating. There's a lot of stuff that's kind of boiling under. What would you say the biggest story of the day is right now?
Well, I just think that right now, I mean, Congress is out of session, so to a certain extent, the Trump administration is left to their own devices. The situation internationally has really become the focal point of this presidency. And you mentioned North Korea percolating. What's the next move in Syria? I think that a lot of people are trying to figure out exactly what the Trump doctrine here is. And if you look at his actions over the past 2 weeks, they're diametrically opposed to what he said during the campaign and what he said during his inaugural address and what he said in the early part of his presidency. And you have one side of the Republican hemisphere, kind of the Congress, saying that the action in Syria was a one-off, that this doesn't necessarily indicate a broader policy. But then you have signals within the administration, Nikki Haley, the U.N. ambassador, James Mattis, the defense secretary, where you seem to think that perhaps they're going to take more aggressive action in some of these hotspots around the world. And what does that mean for the relationship with Russia? What does it mean for the relationship with China? And, you know, you played that sound from the vice president who's in North Korea, or I'm sorry, in Korea right now. And he basically, you know, calling North Korea out, saying that if they don't stop, that this president is not afraid to take any sort of action. So I think everyone's kind of just waiting on the edge of their seats, wondering exactly what his next step is and if he's going to lay out some sort of cogent policy that the administration is going to adhere to.
If we can all agree that he is not a geopolitical genius, and I'm speaking on behalf of all of you, then he's got a tremendous defense team that is leading the way and telling him which way the boat should be rowed. As long as he's listening, I feel pretty good about things because I don't feel like these are war hawks. I feel like these are strategically minded leaders in the military who know how to push the right buttons. Because, Ryan, I firmly believe, I mentioned this earlier, I don't think Kim Jong-un wants to die, and I don't think he's stupid enough to start a nuclear war.
Yeah. I mean, I think Kim Jong-un's big thing is he just wants to be respected. He wants his cult of personality to essentially be realized. He wants people to – he wants kind of to live up to the hype of the narrative that he has made for himself and his country. And you're right. I don't think that he wants to be at the center of a global world war. His preference would be to continue to be the leader of his domain. He'd probably like it to be a little bit easier. He doesn't want to be in such an adversarial posture with all these other countries around the world, but he certainly wants to be the one in command. And you're right about the advice that Trump seems to be taking from these military leaders that he has put in place. And it actually is reminiscent of his business practices, even though he has his hands in all these different real estate deals around the country. You know, those who understand the way he worked as a businessman was he was not afraid to allow others to do the nitty-gritty work to get the golf course built here or to get something established somewhere else. And it seems as though that business acumen he's using in the White House right now, he understands that he doesn't know the in-depth intricacies of the geopolitical situation in the Middle East or in Asia, but he knows that he's put people in place that do know how to do that. And the best example of that is the question that he was asked directly about that mother of all bombs, that bunker buster that they dropped. And someone asked him specifically, did you give the order? And he said, no. He didn't say no specifically, but he essentially said, I've given my generals broad consent to do whatever they think is necessary. So it doesn't appear that he is getting too into the weeds in these decisions. He's letting the people that know what they're doing make the calls.
And frankly, that makes me feel better. I wouldn't want Donald Trump playing around with the important buttons. So I think that overall is a good thing. What is the message of Pence in South Korea, and does it matter to North Korea?
I think it certainly does. I mean, you've got, the second most powerful person in the United States, at least when you look at the political organizational chart, standing at the DMZ, essentially. I think that's a bold move. They're showing North Korea that they're not afraid to send someone at that level of the administration that close to this hotspot. And I think it also sends a message to the people of South Korea that the United States is going to be there to defend them. You know, we have got tens of thousands of troops that are stationed in South Korea. Seoul is definitely in the target range of a potential ballistic missile from North Korea. So the idea that you would send, the vice president of the United States to an area that is that fraught right now, where something bad could happen, I think demonstrates that the administration is serious about this. But, you know, North Korea is just so unpredictable, Steve. You know, what they want, what their motivations are, for the most part, we're just guessing because there's no lines of communication. The only idea of what they're thinking that we have comes from their state-run media and their kind of over-the-top press releases that they put out about Kim Jong-un and his cult of personality. So I think that's the most dangerous thing, is that we don't understand how unpredictable they are. And it would just take one, stupid move by an unpredictable dictator to really cause havoc in that entire part of the world.
There are some domestic issues going on. Some of them are just behind the scenes fun stuff, like what will Sean Spicer say today on, Andre, I don't know if you know this, the daily briefing is now called The Spicy Show.
Yeah, that's probably appropriately named, too.
Yeah, and then, of course, you've got whether or not Steve Bannon has a job or doesn't have a job. But then, Andre and I were talking off the air about this congressional race.
Yeah, the one in Georgia's 6th Congressional District. That's going to be tomorrow. Ryan, we know why it's important, but kind of talk about why it's so important, especially with, Tom Price resigning the seat, who's going to be elected, and that's not going to shift the Congress, or would it?
No. Well, here's the thing. You've got a situation now where Democrats are crowing that they're the most organized that they've ever been, that there's the most enthusiasm that the party's ever seen because of the election of Donald Trump. But yet none of that has actually materialized in actual votes because there haven't been any votes to take. Now, we saw a special election in Kansas for the CIA director, Mike Pompeo's seat, which was a heavy Republican district. We saw Democrats come out in record numbers for that seat, but yet the Republicans still won. Now, this seat in Georgia is a little bit different, because it has it's been held by a Democrat in the past. This is actually Newt Gingrich's old seat. And the way that the voting works in Georgia is that they don't necessarily have a primary there. The first election is a primary. Everybody runs, Republicans and Democrats. And if someone doesn't get over the 50% threshold, then they go to a runoff election. There's only one Democrat running,
yeah.
And there's a bunch of Republicans. So if this Democrat could get over the 50% mark, he could win the seat. But even if he gets at the 45% mark and it goes to a runoff with one other Republican, well, then that's showing us that in one of the reddest parts of the country, that Democrats are engaged and as enthused as they have ever been. That spells trouble for the Trump administration and Republicans in the upcoming midterm elections. And it, at the very least, it gives life to this theory. And it fuels energy among Democrats that they can really make some noise here in the next 2 years.
That's how our mayoral election is set up in Chicago, too. Rare setup, but, yeah, it could be huge for them.
Right. Especially, yeah, because it's just, you've got all these Republicans vying for it, and the Democrats are able to put all their energy and resources into this one guy. Mm-hmm. It could make the race interesting. But even if he gets over the 45% mark. I think Republicans have got to be nervous that there's a potential that they could lose the runoff or the actual runoff election as well.
Guys, I have something really funny here.
Yes, sir.
So Mark Noller, who's a CBS News correspondent at the White House, tweeted out a little while ago that Kellyanne Conway was being interviewed on Fox and Friends this morning about North Korea. And in the background, the U.S. Marine Band was playing the theme from Looney Tunes.
Oh, my God. You're kidding.
Apparently, they're getting ready for the Easter egg hunt. I wonder if that was a coincidence.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Oh, yeah. How perfect is that?
Yeah.
That is tremendous.
Speaking of the Easter egg roll, I mean, the Easter egg roll is today at the White House, which is always a big, huge thing. And, you know, not to make too big of a deal of this, but there are some concerns that, you know, the Trump administration is not necessarily prepared to pull off this big of an event. You know, these are logistical nightmares. You got to get people in and out of security. You got to get the right amount of tickets there. You got to get all the right people in the right places. And as we've seen them, they've had kind of some rocky attempts to pull stuff off. So there's going to be a lot of eyes on exactly how the Easter egg roll goes off today in Washington. It's an indication that perhaps the White House has everything in order there.
Well, let's enjoy the day together. And meanwhile, Ryan's coming off a sugar high because he ate all his kids' Easter candy yesterday. And don't think we don't have a camera on you at all times.
They'd cut my hands off if I tried to eat their Easter candy. So, I know better.
All right, good talking to you, bud. Ryan Nobles from CNN. We're back with the CLTV Hour next on 720 WGN.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
Who let the dogs out?
In the morning, 720 WGN. It's the Steve Cochran Show. Hello to all our friends at CLTV. Steve was playing a little hurt today, MC, so you and I are going to take over and ride out the ship till the 9 o'clock hour when Bill and Wendy come in.
Steve
so.
Grinded like no one in the history of radio has ever grinded.
He was a player. Would you agree he has kind of an upper body injury, lower body injuries? He's playing with the full body injury, and he's playing hurt, and he sounded great, but he's going to rest his voice and be back hopefully 100% tomorrow.
There's no doubt. Lesser radio host wouldn't even thought about stepping up to the microphone at 6 o'clock. Steve Cochran, you know, he stared right at that microphone and said, I'm going to do this show. And, you know, he's given us the opportunity to sit in for the final hour just so he can be that much better tomorrow, Andrea. I think we're up to the task. We'll find out.
I think so, too. And we are so happy to have in studio Steve Dale once again. And we're going to keep our record going, Steve, every time you bring a dog in studio. Last time we had the little puppy dog who was a little scared. He was from South Korea. He was rescued.
Yeah.
He was adopted, two hours later?
Yeah. Just
after
within,
the show?
Yep, absolutely. So now the Anti-Cruelty Society said, Steve, you think you're so hot at adopting out these dogs? We are going to give you a challenge. So not only do we have a pit bull mix, and pitties are always sometimes more difficult to adopt out, but a 9-year-old dog.
Wow.
But have you ever felt in your life a softer dog?
No, and you know what? The color of this dog is beautiful.
Red.
It's like like a rustic color. Yeah. It's almost red. It's gorgeous.
And it's not a hen and rinse. This is the real thing.
Yeah, and how friendly is this dog?
Very.
I mean, Mark's been playing with the dog for 10 minutes.
Willie's been in studio for those 10 minutes, and I've already bonded with Willie. I feel a strong connection with Willie. I'm thinking about actually taking Willie home myself, but if a WGN listener would like to do that, that would be a better idea, probably.
Grzanich, better come down here and see this puppy dog. I call it a puppy. It's 9 years old, but it's so playful.
Very
smiley. You got to see this dog.
Just a sweet, sweet dog. So from Anti-Cruelty Society, Christine is in the studio. Say your last name for me.
Good morning. It's Christine Natarelli.
That's what I said.
All right.
This dog was given up. You'll have to explain the story, but this happens somewhat frequently. It's a somewhat older dog, older owner who just could not take care of the dog anymore in ill health.
Yeah.
And no one in the family wanted this wonderful dog, which is amazing to me.
That's correct. So Willie is a 9-year-old pit and chocolate lab mix.
Or and he's, something.
Or something, no, around that. He's a great dog. So that's true. He did come in as owner relinquish. It was an elderly woman who had him. But unfortunately, nobody in the family could care for him anymore. So
she only drove the dog to church on Sundays.
Maybe so. So
sweet dog. Sweet.
Very sweet dog. Very good temperament. Willie does. We're not sure how he does with other dogs. He did meet a dog here on the way. It was a very good meeting session. So we're pretty confident that he would do well in a family with another dog. Cats, we're not sure either. However, you can always check out to see if cats would get along with Willie. Right. We do that at the society.
Is that like fostering when you kind of give it a try or check to see?
Yeah, you can. Or if you have a cat, the Anti-Cruelty Society will say, we'll cat test the dog for you.
Yeah. Okay,
and determine, because there's plenty of cats at Anti-Cruelty as well, and determine whether the dog is okay or not.
Steve, when you guys say mix, this is, I'm always curious, you know, like it's a pit bull, lab mix, you know, that, is that based solely on looks or is it also based a little on personality, characteristics, things that sort too?
Yes. So it's a guess.
It's a guess,
know?
Okay.
Yeah, and it's phenotype is what, I'm going to get very fancy.
So
phenotype is what a dog looks like. And in dogs, phenotype doesn't necessarily match genotype, which is what dogs are.
Okay.
So to say a dog looks like this because it has this wide, big head and big neck, and we call that dog a pit bull, it turns out these dogs, now we can do genetic testing.
Oh, yeah.
And we've done it. Scientists have done it and have said, no, these dogs are just mixed breed dogs almost always. I'm talking well over 90% of the time.
Wow.
This dog also, I mean, as far as traditional pit bulls go, it doesn't really look like a pit bull. It's more, I would say it's much closer to a lab, if that's something that you would prefer your dog to look like. A lot of people just love to stare at a lab. I love to stare at a lab.
So who doesn't?
Putting that out there. It's a beautiful dog. This dog could definitely, like, for the single guy out there walking around with this dog, if that guy's listening, this would be a nice little accoutrement for you around your neighborhood, I would think.
Well, they are chick magnets. There's no
right?
doubt
about Mark,
that.
There you go. Yeah. Come
right,
on,
I'm
Mark.
Selling myself here. That's what I'm doing.
You know, Mark, though, what you have to do is every time Steve brings a dog in studio, Dave and it literally gets down on the floor, rolls
uh-huh.
around with the dog. They take a bunch
you want
of
me
pictures.
To go down on the floor?
Uh-huh.
I personally
oh, sure.
would,
all
yeah.
Right. All right. Well,
I would like to
okay,
see that.
I'll get down with the dog.
And Steve will still...
Come here, Willie!
Look at that. What a nice dog. Everybody walking by the Showcase Studios looking at this little dog. Steve, is that? I always call dogs puppies. No matter what, they can be 9 years old. But this really, the temperament of this dog
very
is
sweet.
Very good, too. Have you seen that, a temperament like this before? Many dogs, when you bring in, sometimes they're a little shy or maybe a little nervous at first so they get to know you.
I know,
you.
You're
but
right.
But Willie is boom,
it's
just playing
like,
right away.
I've done radio before. This isn't the problem. I know Andrea and Ben Cortez and Mark Harmon. It's easy enough.
Yeah.
And this dog is just quite incredible to be able to... just walk down the street, come into the revolving doors, which kind of freaks out some dogs,
yeah.
you know, at the in Tribune Tower,
yeah.
and say, you know, maybe he's done it all before. I don't know.
He may have. We don't know.
We don't
We're
know. But this
sure.
dog. So, you know, dogs really do smile.
Yeah.
And I've already taken some pictures of this dog smiling.
Aww.
You know, so this dog is pretty relaxed. And if this dog is, Willie, is relaxed in minutes in the studio, then Willie's got to be relaxed in someone's home. You know, and doesn't need, being 9 years old, doesn't need a ton of exercise.
Right.
I would suggest just a good walk. Now, Willie's one failure is that he does pull on the leash, but you get a harness rather
oh, yeah.
than a buckle collar, and you're good to go.
And those harnesses, those don't hurt the
right,
dogs.
Right, right,
I mean,
right.
I know that was a myth for the longest time. Oh, it hurts their belly.
No,
or their...
no, that's
no,
a good thing.
It's good for them.
Yeah, yeah. It's a better thing than having something around their neck.
You don't like those choke collars, right?
Oh, no.
I don't like
I do
those.
Not. No,
I
no,
see
no.
The bigger dogs, the people walking their Rottweilers or a bigger dog with those, and I think, that cannot feel good.
No, it doesn't feel good. By the way, I've got for Mark Carman, I've not talked about this on the radio enough. So the Chicago Blackhawks, classy operation, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir.
To prove how classy they are, not that that's ever needed, because we know that. Anyone who's worked with the Blackhawks in any way, shape, or form knows that. They went out to Animal Care and Control. They sent the mascot out, Tommy Hawk.
Aww.
And we recorded a video that's now being seen at the United Center before games, and we hope many more games, about pet adoption.
The Blackhawks are trying to get Tommy Hawk adopted?
No. Now, I did not explain that very well.
No, that's funny, though.
Tommy Hawk went to Animal Care and Control to support and promote pet adoption.
Right.
Okay.
And this video is now being shown before games, and you could also see it on my website, which is stevedale.tv.
That's the best. You know what? And speaking of the Blackhawks, dude, Doc Emmerich called in, too, a couple weeks back and paid for an adoption.
From South Suburban Humane.
And not only that, he paid for, what, the next three adoptions?
Well,
he made this in-kind donation,
yeah.
which
Five donations,
yeah.
Five adoptions.
He's
and
the best.
He is amazing. And what I didn't know is he turns out to be a fan of my show. So now I get text after every show commenting on my show from Doc Emmerich.
Doc Emmerich listens
awesome.
To your show?
I could show you the text.
He is awesome.
He said, oh, I didn't know that about this temper. He's amazing.
Animal lover, yep.
He is a huge animal lover.
Yeah.
In fact, there's a podcast I did with Doc where I ask, what's up, Doc? And that is at WGNradio.com or WGN Plus. And we talk pucks and pups.
I love it. Well, Steve Dale is in studio. Hang out for a little bit, Steve. We're
going to
talk about more with Christine.
Bark in the Park.
Find out about Bark in
the Park.
In the park. That's her forte. And we'll find out more about Willie. But first, let's take this quick break and back next on WGN.
How much is that doggy in the window? The one with the waggly tail. How much is that doggy in the window?
It's 9:24 in the morning.
I do hope that dog is for
God, bring back childhood memories. Steve Dale in studio with Christine and Thea and Colette and the featured puppy of the day, featured dog of the day, Willie.
Childhood memories?
Yeah, remember the song?
You're not old enough in any way.
Oh, yeah, you're
no,
right.
No, I know
yeah,
I am.
You're right.
I know I am. So the big event...
Memories of hearing the song every time you come on. How about that?
I'll take that.
Thanks, Steve. That's nice.
But I don't want people to go to pet stores to look at doggies in the window
right.
to see how much they are. Big event coming up. It is the city's most important event of the century.
Yes.
Bark in the Park.
Yeah.
We like to think so. We definitely like to think so. So that's correct. This is the Anti-Cruelty Society's largest event of the year. So it's called Bark in the Park, and it's the 23rd annual Bark in the Park. It will take place on Sunday, May 21st, at the Stadium Green located next to Soldier Field. So the morning kicks off with a 5K walk by the lakefront with your pup. You do not have to walk if you don't want to participate in the 5K walk, and you do not need a dog to participate either. So everybody is welcome to join. After the walk, everybody takes place back in the event space, and we have festivities. We have a Lagunitas beer tent this year. So everybody's very excited about that.
I am.
There we are, too.
We are craft too. Beer and puppies.
Can't beat it.
Walking along the lakefront.
And then we'll have dog demonstrations going on, music. We have a family-friendly zone. And then we have puppy massages for all the dogs out there as well. So, again, everybody is welcome.
What's the day?
It is Sunday, May 21st, and registration opens at 8:30 a.m. that day if you have not purchased your ticket already. And then the walk kicks off at 10 a.m. that
puppy
morning.
Massages. Is that a thing? That's a thing,
it
right?
It is a thing. Yeah, why not?
You know, I joke about that, but there are dogs that require, like, aqua therapy. Right?
We have a dog doing that right now. So we had a dog that had cruciate surgery, knee surgery. And like a person, we go through rehab. So is the dog. No different.
You're putting a dog in a pool to rehab his knee?
Mm-hmm.
That's amazing.
My friend did that with her German, yeah. Because German Shepherds, I guess, is it true that
they sometimes have the muscle aches and the pain?
So she had both of her dogs down the little, it's like a little treadmill underwater.
Yeah.
That's
very
incredible.
Cute. Yeah. He seemed to like it.
Yeah, well, sure. Yeah, you know, if it makes you feel better. So that is coming up again. The date for
Bark in the Park is Sunday, May 21st at the Stadium Green located next to Soldier Field, and 100% of the proceeds come back to the society.
You know, and people know that animal shelters need money, you know, to adopt the dogs and cats and the care for the animals in their care. But moreover, Anti-Cruelty Society, the city's oldest shelter, has so many programs that many people just don't know about or even take for granted, and those programs need funding as well.
That's correct. So we have two programs right now amongst a lot that I want to talk about a little bit. SAFE program is our first program, and we help people in situations like if there was a fire at their house, domestic violence, things like that. People are just kind of in need, so we work with the community on that if they need a place to house their animal.
Right, exactly. The dog has to go somewhere, and the city doesn't step up. You know, they can't.
That's correct.
But you do.
Yeah. We do, and we do work with them depending on each situation, and then we hold their animal for 30 days.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right. And so give us a final pitch for Willie. You want to adopt Willie?
Let me just say this about Willie. Willie is laying down right now. He's just made himself at home. He's sat up. He's looking out the window. Like this is a very, very quick adapting dog. I'm a huge fan of Willie, and I think Willie would be a great addition to anyone's family or just a rando who just wants to take on a dog. I think this is a perfect situation.
Do you notice every time you said his name, his tail started to wag? Did you see that?
He said
Willie, and he's going crazy.
Back and forth.
A lot of tail wagging for Willie all morning long. You're very happy dog. You're happy dog.
I'm saying Willie's going to have a new home by noon.
Oh, God.
That's going to be my
pitch.
We hope so.
Is that the over and under?
Yeah, it's the over under. Since the last dog adopted within 2 hours, I'm saying by noon, this dog is fantastic. Well,
and the beautiful thing with a 9-year-old is that you're not taking on a puppy. You don't have to train it, right? Yeah. And he's just ready to go.
No, true.
For those who don't want to deal with a lot of maintenance, Willie can come in and he's just there and boom, you're going with Willie.
You're totally correct. I want to say one thing very, very quickly. WGN podcast just posted, we've heard about dogs that detect cancer before.
Yes.
But what does that mean?
Yeah.
And it turns out we are so close. Once for ovarian cancer, once the chemicals the dogs are identifying are figured out, what are the dogs sniffing exactly? The next step is to come up for a test. And we're really close now for ovarian cancer. Experts talk about that. And that is at WGN Plus, WGNradio.com.
And that's a dream because ovarian cancer, my grandmother passed away from ovarian cancer, and it was diagnosed, and it's usually diagnosed in the later stages, three or four.
That's the thing.
And the symptoms are bloating or, feel achy. Just probably
general
something you'd feel every day. Yeah,
right.
So it's not very detectable. So this is going to be huge.
Exactly,
and I wish you guys
right.
the best.
Yeah.
Because
and if we could do this, or the experts, not me, but if the experts can do this for ovarian cancer, the thought is they could do this for other kinds of cancers as well.
And other diseases maybe too?
Yep. And all because of a dog's nose. I mean, it's not science fiction anymore. And when you hear these experts talk about it and read about it as well. So I posted also on my site, stevedale.tv. It's right up there, first post, easy to find.
Very cool. Thank you, Steve Dale, as always.
Thank you,
Christine. Thank you, Kayla.
Thank
you, Willie.
Free Willie.
Adopt Willie.
Willie.
Back with the big story next on WGN.
This is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Yeah, you know the music. That's right. That's why I was a little distracted, Mark. Phil Kogan is in studio, the host of CBS's 10-time award-winning, Emmy award-winning show, The Amazing Race, one of my favorite shows. I know they call it a game show, but it's not really, I mean, it's more of a, I guess it is more of a challenge, Phil?
I don't know, game show, I think of studio, I think of audience, I think.
Like tic-tac-toe.
Maybe life-changing adventure, could we go with that?
Oh, it is one of the best shows. If you haven't seen it, I mean, it's 15 seasons, right? Is that how long?
No, 29.
29, are you kidding me?
No, 17 years. 29 seasons because we shoot.
Oh, because you do two,
we
two a couple
a,
of years.
Pretty much a year.
Okay.
But yeah, I started in my 30s.
I know.
And now I'm not in my 30s.
And I started watching it when I was about 12, so that's perfect. Yeah.
Oh, really now? Oh,
yeah,
and
exactly.
You said one of your favorite episodes is with the cheese rolling down the hill in Switzerland.
That was one of my favorite episodes. I love the challenges. I love the locations that you go to as well. But
I love your accent.
Yeah.
I love it.
Very Chicago, right?
I love it.
Yeah.
It's so, I'm all about accents. I'm from New Zealand originally.
Okay.
So I'm constantly.
Kiwis.
Yeah, so I'm Kiwi. Constantly. And now I have some messed up thing. But I'm constantly listening, and I just love the way. I love this. Can you say fantastic?
Fantastic.
Do you think The Amazing Race is
fantastic? I think it's fantastic.
I love it.
Don't you?
Yeah.
And I'm going to call my mom later on.
And your mom. And what's the other one?
Played with blocks
awesome.
As a kid.
Awesome. Yeah.
That's a good one, yeah.
And how about them Cubs?
How about those Cubbies,
yeah? How about the Cubbies,
World Series champs. But yeah, the episode that you're referring to is one of my favorites. It was in Switzerland.
Yes.
And they were trying to bring the couples or the contestants.
Big wheels of cheese.
The wheels of cheese, yeah.
That weigh about 50, 60 pounds.
And it sounds somewhat easy, but watching did anybody even, they could barely do it, these big blocks of cheese.
Well, they tried to carry two pieces, wheels of cheese, about 100 pounds, on a harness, like a wooden, backpack kind of device.
And they kept breaking.
Instead of one.
Yeah.
So when they carried two, it broke the harness, and then the wheels of cheese took off down the hill.
Right.
And the locals were looking at these crazy American racers and thinking, what are they doing? And then the cheese wheels of cheese were out of control, and the racers were like dodging the wheels of cheese as were going down there.
And they were deadly. Yeah, they became lethal. They were rolling down the hill, slamming into the little pub and where everybody was sitting.
Yeah, and
they
hit
watching.
The fence at the bottom.
Yeah.
Thank goodness there was a fence there. Otherwise, they would have gone right through town and taken somebody out.
I should say that the disclaimer that all of these couples were, all of the contestants were very brave in doing this. Mm-hmm. I could never do this. You know, I laugh. Right. You know,
and I'm with you on that. They are brave doing this show.
Is that one of the craziest adventures you've seen? Do you remember?
They ate live octopus in South Korea once, and they do things that you would never imagine.
I take spin class.
Yes. Well, that is one of the weirder things I've heard all day. Really?
Yeah, I mean, I get after it. So yeah. It's not easy.
Are there like old vinyl and you spin the what do you do?
I stand and I sit and I...
And you spin records at the same time.
Right. I listen to the music. There's a lot going on there.
Yeah, yeah. Now you're pushing yourself outside your comfort zone every day.
I'm excited about your film, though. Yeah. Ride sounds like amazing what you're doing here, going back to 1928 Tour de France, these old bikes, and you got out there yourself and actually pushed your body to the limit, huh, to get this thing done?
A few years ago I rode across America. I went from Santa Monica to New York raising money for MS. And at that time, a great Chicagoan, is that how you say it?
Yes. Perfect.
In Bonnie Hunt. She's always been a big supporter of Amazing Race and always been a big supporter of things that I've done. And I was raising money along the way, and I would check in with her on her show. And we managed to raise $400,000 riding across America. And then I made a film about that. It raised over $1 million, and all the money went to MS. Wow. So now I've made this new film. It's called La Ride. I retrace the 1928 Tour de France, and we're doing it played at South by Southwest Film Festival and American Documentary Film Festival. And we're doing a limited number of screenings around the United States, including here in Chicago tonight at 7 p.m. And I know Bonnie is from here, of course. And so I said to Bonnie, as a thank you for supporting Amazing Race over the years and also for supporting me, we would love to give the box office from the screening here in Chicago tonight. It's actually at City North Stadium 14, 7 p.m. tonight.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Great.
We want to give 100% of the box office to your favorite charity. And I said, what charity would you like? And she said the MMRF, which is the Multiple Myeloma Research Fund. It's a type of cancer. And so tonight she's going to be there with her family, and we're hoping to sell the theater out. Regal Cinemas have kindly given us the theater to be able to do these charity screenings.
Yeah.
And you will get to see a 4K film, first documentary feature film shot in 4K with an F-55 camera, Angino lenses, which are French lenses, and you'll get to see aerials of France, and you'll get to see one reviewer called it a love letter to France.
It sounds beautiful. It sounds like a beautiful cinematography.
Beautiful cinematography.
Talk about 4K and specifically what that is. Is it like aerial shots?
So when you watch television, you watch HD, like the HD monitors that you have here.
Yeah.
Though that's 1,000 lines of resolution. It's high definition, right?
Yeah.
So 1,000 lines. 4K is 4,000 lines of resolution, 4,096 lines of resolution. So, and 1 hour's worth of footage when you shoot it in RAW, and when we shot these aerials over France, 1 terabyte an hour of data.
Oh my God.
Wow.
So the resolution is super, super crystal clear.
Yeah.
So we were the first documentary to use a Sony F55 camera to shoot this documentary. Nobody had done it before. It's basically the equivalent of super 35mm film, but it's digital. And so the screening that we have tonight, Regal have a theater that can play 4K.
Okay.
So what people will get to see is something quite, special. And then this is a self-funded film. However, we had a lot of great people help us, including the guy who mixed the movie, Hidden Figures movie.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so he mixed this. So the sound is also really spectacular. And so we're just looking to have a really great experience tonight. And then if you buy your ticket, you know that those funds are going to this great charity. And so it feels good for me to be back here. And I can tell you, Amazing Race, the finale of Amazing Race, ended up back here in Chicago.
Oh.
So this season's Amazing Race will come all the way back to Chicago. So there's some really great, great connections with being here. So I'm looking forward to meeting some amazing race fans tonight.
We are looking forward to seeing the film, too. Can you hang out for a little bit,
Absolutely.
Phil? Talking to Phil Kogan, the host of The Amazing Race, about the show and, of course, his new film, La Ride. More coming up next on The Steve Cochran Show, 720 WGN. How you say it.
Believe. I miss Steve.
Those are the melodious tones of Mark Carman.
Thank you, Andrea.
Yeah, you bet. We're holding the fort down. Steve will be back in full force tomorrow.
Full force.
Full force. Speaking of full force, Phil Kogan, host of The Amazing Race in studio, talking about his new movie, La Ride, that is going to be out. Special screening tonight. All the proceeds going to benefit Bonnie Hunt's charity, Multiple Myeloma, which is a wonderful cause. It's a wonderful charity.
Yeah.
That, and all the proceeds.
And she's a wonderful woman.
Yes, she
is. And I really wanted
to
do this. And is there anybody more proud of Chicago than Bonnie?
Than Bonnie, right?
I mean, this, right?
And this film, I mean, see the film, you know, if anything, because the proceeds go to charity tonight, but if anything, too, because it's shot in 4K. It's the first time a film has been shot in 4K, which is the clarity and the conciseness. It's just beautiful cinematography that you're going to be able to see. But the subject matter is really cool. I mean, you literally brought life back to riding the original 1928 steel bicycle that was created.
I mean, did you really ride 150 miles a day on some old 1920s bike? Is that real? That's a bold maneuver by you.
That's legit. And so it was an average.
You don't see that on The Amazing Race.
It was an average of 150 miles a day on an old antique bicycle that weighs twice as much as a modern bike. The bike had no gears, marginal brakes.
That's brutal.
But there were seven stages that were over 200 miles.
Yeah.
Seven. And we one stage called the death stage.
Oh God.
It took us 23 and a half hours
oh my God.
To complete, and we shot that whole time. So I had a California Highway Patrol officer riding a motorbike with a cameraman sitting on the back, and we literally finished that stage in 23 and a half hours.
Oh my God, that's insane. You must have calves of steel.
Yeah. You want to see them?
I do.
Okay, here we go.
Hold up those calves.
Holy smokes.
Whoa.
That is a...
Whoa!
That's a nice calf.
Crack a walnut with those. Awesome.
But, I could play for the Cubs with those calf muscles.
Yeah, exactly, right?
What do you eat?
What a great film.
What is your diet? How do you live your life? I want to be like you.
I eat whatever I want, really, because I work out so much.
Okay.
But I drink wine every night.
Okay.
I do 100 push-ups a day, have done for 10 years.
100 a day?
I haven't missed.
How many in a shot? Is that four sets of 25? What are we doing?
Yeah, like I'll do 25 wide, 25 like this. You know, I get a phone book and I mix it up so that I'm changing the, you know, thing. And then, yeah, just work out every day. And then, you know, eating, it's just about eating sensibly. And I think when you get fit and when you get in shape after a while, your body kind of tells you what you want. Oh, I really need some carbohydrates, or I really need some fruit. And it's like they say that pregnant women know what they want to eat because their body tells them, you need, you know, citric acid, or you need vitamins, or, you know.
Chocolate with pickles.
Chocolate with pickles, or peanut butter and honey jam sandwiches or something.
Right.
So I think it's the same thing when you're fit. You become very attuned to your body. So, yeah, I was burning so many calories on that ride around America. Every night I had this big bottle, this concoction with protein powder, amino acids, Cytomax, all this mixture, electrolytes, and I would chug this 2-liter bottle of liquid down. It was almost like chalk because I knew my body needed it.
Yeah.
And I would have it at night. And, you know, any guy, I'm a middle-aged guy now. And, you know, we have to get up to pee maybe two times a night.
An hour.
An hour. And I drank this thing, this huge thing, every night before bed. I never got up to pee the whole time.
Because
my body was so depleted, it needed that, you know,
nutrients. Sure. Your body's going, what are you doing to me? Well, the ride sounds awesome. Again, it is it's tonight. It's City North Stadium 14. All the proceeds go to Multiple Myeloma Foundation. Go see it. I got to ask you real quick, too, about The Amazing Race. It's one of the greatest shows. Do you get people all the time coming up to you? A friend of mine will always say, oh, my husband and I, we'd be perfect for that. Do you get people all the time, any city you
always.
Go to in the world?
And I always get people coming up to me. Excuse me, I had someone on a plane the other day, an air steward, and he said, Phil, I really want to be on The Amazing Race. Watch this. And he took a tray of drinks and he did a huge lap around a 767 and came running back. You know, I've been to all these different countries. I've been all over the world.
Watch me run.
Watch me run, you know. But I tell you a funny story. If I run through the airport, people always make a joke like, oh, you're going to get eliminated, Phil, you know, because right. they see me running. So the other day I was really late for a connection and I'm running through the airport and this family stops me and says, can I get a photograph, please? So I was like, okay. And I'm watching the time. So I'm like, okay. And I'm trying to be polite, but at the same time, I got to go. So I take this photograph and thank you. So then I run up and I'm running. And I'm almost there and I can see my gate. And then another family stops me. And I'm like, oh, so I'm trying to be polite. I stop and take the photograph and I'm running. I get right to my gate.
No.
And then this woman says, can you please take a photo? And I said, yes, of course. So I put my arm around her and pose. And she looks at me like I'm a crazy person. And she's wondering, why has this guy got his arm around me? And she kind of like, you know, dips down out of my reach. And I realize she has no idea who I am.
Oh, no kidding, right?
She doesn't want a photo with me. She just wanted me to take a photograph of her family.
Oh, that's excellent.
And I'm late for the plane. Right. And I'm thinking, oh, this is so embarrassing. And how do I explain it? She's looking at me. And so then I take her phone, and then she's looking at me like, ooh, this guy, is he going to run away with my phone? So I quickly take the photograph, and I go click, and I hand it back to her. And then as I'm running away, I'm thinking, oh, that's so embarrassing. She had no idea who I was.
I thought you were going to say you missed the plane.
Yeah, I just got there. I was like the last guy on the plane. Zap, you know, there's always, if I'm ever late anywhere, everybody will be like, you're going to get eliminated.
That is hilarious. What an amazing life you've had. Amazing race is.
Well, it's not over yet, is it?
No, not at all.
Okay, the way you said,
no,
what an amazing life you've had.
It did sound right, Greg, kind of ominous.
Yeah, it did sound like, well, it's been good. I'm glad you've enjoyed it.
Amazing places that you've been to. Yeah, you're on the back nine.
Oh, look at
you. Drink more of that protein liquid there. Yeah. Thank you so much. It's Phil Kogan from The Amazing Race. And again, the film is called La Ride. Go see it tonight. And again, it's at City North Stadium, 7 p.m. Thank you so much, and best of luck on the next
season. Yeah, and thanks for watching the show, guys.
You bet. And it has a Chicago connection this time.
Fantastic.
It's fantastic. Thank you, Phil. Bill and Wendy next on WGN.